good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie in for Art Bell, and this is, of course, Coast to Coast AM. We've got open lines for you this hour, so unless you don't have your phone numbers tattooed to your body, here are the numbers. West of the Rockies, 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies, 800-825-5033. First-time callers, 541-665-0520. And the wild card line, 541-665-0521. I'm opening up a special line in a moment. I'll tell you why. Joining the family of long coast-to-coast stations, WXDX in Detroit, Michigan, my hometown, Talk Radio 1310. Many thanks to General Manager Dave Pugh and Program Director Rona Danziger. Thanks for joining. You'll love the show, and as Art has always said, it's different. It's different. What's going on with these storms? Last night on the air, we were talking about storms that had hit just a few states. By the time we got off the air, 70 tornadoes, 70 of them, cut through six states from Louisiana to Pennsylvania in November, killing at least 36 people now, injuring more than 200, scores still missing, cutting a path of destruction right through. Many dead in Tennessee and Alabama, five in Ohio and Mississippi and Pennsylvania. Just a very tragic situation. Dan McCarthy of the Federal Storm Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma says, "This is really unseasonably warm weather that we had in the 80s, followed by a cold front, making conditions ripe for the rash of twisters, some of which were estimated to be at least in the F3 category." That's a pretty big one. "With winds ranging from 158 to 206 miles an hour. It was the nation's biggest swarm of tornadoes from a single weather system since more than 70 twisters, some topping 300 miles an hour, killed 44 people in Oklahoma and Kansas in May of 1999. But there was something really strange going on with the weather. That's why I'd also like to open up our special phone line tonight as well. Those of you who have been unfortunate to be in really violent weather, I'd like you to call this phone number, 541-665-3880. 541-665-3880. If you were in very violent weather, I'd like you to relate your stories to us. I never have. I have never witnessed a tornado. I've been in some severe thunderstorms. That's about it. But I have not been in the big stuff, not the hurricanes, nothing like that. Some other news. Would you spend $1,000 for a mushroom? How about $35,000? An American restaurateur has spent $35,000 on a rare giant mushroom. This is a 2.5-pound white truffle from Italy, and has set a record for the price of a single truffle. Now, he will use it in his restaurants in West Hollywood. He's got a French restaurant there called Bastide. That is one heck of a price to pay for a mushroom. Meanwhile, a spectacular display of shooting stars, not likely to be repeated for the next 30 years, takes place next week. The Leonid meteors generate a shower of activity every November, but this year they are predicted to whip up quite a storm as well. It will happen around 4 a.m. Tuesday, November 19th, 4 a.m. Eastern Time. The Leonids are not expected to return in such numbers until at least 2034. Now, they can be seen in any part of the sky. Among the best places to watch are the northeastern to southeastern skies from around 3 to 5 a.m. when the moon is dipping lower in the west. Anyone hoping to see the shooting stars should face obviously away from the moon, get that light away, or hide behind a rooftop or some wall. Street and house lights should be avoided. This is going to be remarkable for some, once in a lifetime now. Comes around now, the next one, 30 years. So take advantage of that. You know, I've never had the opportunity to physically save someone, witnessing anything like that. A Welsh couple saved two lives while flying to and from Cuba. Not one, but two. One on the way and another on the flight home. They're paramedics. They were first called when a man in his 40s collapsed on their Monarch Airlines flight to the island. Then on the flight home, the pair stepped in when a woman suffered a suspected heart attack. This is an amazing story. The first incident happened 6 hours into the flight from Gatwick, when the captain asked for assistance after the man collapsed at the back of the plane. One of the paramedics, his name is John Bladen, said, "Well, he had high blood pressure. It kept dropping, which was why he kept fainting. We gave him oxygen. We got him on his back and got his legs propped up, stayed with him for a couple hours until we landed, and the Cuban medics took over on that situation. But the other one, he believed that the woman was suffering a heart attack, and he told the pilot to divert to Canada to save some valuable time there. He said, I decided it was the best to go back to Canada rather than continue to Ireland, which was 4 hours away. I didn't know if she would last 4 hours. Most of the passengers were fine about it." Listen to this. This is the part that gets me. Most of the passengers were fine with the diversion. Two were very unhappy. Now, the woman's okay now, but here's a woman who possibly could have been dying of a heart attack, and a couple people on the plane were upset that they had to go to another destination for a while. Someone in Aurora, Colorado, has been doing something that I think is despicable. Killing, mutilating animals in Denver, in Aurora, Colorado. Officials there are concerned. At least 10 cats, 2 squirrels, 1 rabbit have been dissected since mid-July. Pet owners and neighbors say that the carcasses were left near their homes. There's a professor of criminal justice at the Metropolitan State College, and he says the killings are indeed alarming. He says the kind of person capable of such cruelty appears to have little concern for life in general. And he says someone like that could be violent toward humans and very dangerous. The United States is still on the hunt for terrorists in the first war of the 21st century. It will not let Iraq aid any of those thugs, according to President Bush. He said today Saddam Hussein will fully disarm and prove that he has done so, or America will lead a coalition to disarm him. He will commit, according to Bush, the full force and might of the United States military, and he says we will prevail. Meanwhile, this could be considered disturbing if you believe that our rights are being whittled away. The Pentagon is constructing a huge computer system right now that could create a vast electronic dragnet searching for personal information as part of the hunt for terrorists around the globe. Now, that's an important fact here, and that is something that we all believe to be necessary, right? But here's the take. It will provide intelligence analysts and law enforcement officials with instant access information to your internet mail, calling records, to credit cards, banking transactions, travel documents, all of this without a search warrant. Now, historically, military and intelligence agencies have not been permitted to spy on Americans without very extraordinary legal authorization. But that is changing now, and you need to be aware of that. This, of course, being Veterans Day, I've got to read something that I always do. It's kind of tradition for me. Now, this was written by a Marine for Marines. I was in the Navy, so we all need to understand that this was written by a Marine. And by the way, the Marines turned 227 years old on November 10th. So happy birthday, Marines. But let me read this to you. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. In the beginning was God, and all else was darkness and void and without form. So God created the heavens and the earth, and he created the sun and the moon and the stars so that light might pierce the darkness. the earth God divided between the land and the sea, and these he filled with many assorted creatures. And the dark, salty, slimy creatures and inhabited the murky depths of the oceans, God called sailors. And he dressed them accordingly, with little trousers that looked like bells at the bottom, with cute little flaps on their shirts to hide hickeys on their necks. He also gave them long sideburns and shabby-looking beards, and God nicknamed them squids and banished them to a lifetime at sea, so that the normal folks would not have to associate with them. And to further identify these unloved creatures, he called them petty and commodore instead of titles worthy of red-blooded men. And the flighty creatures of the land God called soldiers. And with a twinkle in his eye and a sense of humor that only he could have had, God made their trousers too short and covers too large and pockets to warm their hands. And to adorn their uniforms, God gave them badges in quantities that only a dime store owner could appreciate. And he gave them emblems and crests and all sorts of shiny things that glittered and devices that dangled. And, you know, when you're God, you tend to get carried away sometimes in a big way. On the fifth day, he thought about creating some air creatures for which he designed a Greyhound bus driver's uniform, especially for flyboys. But he discarded the idea during the first week, and it was not until years later that some apostles resurrected this theme and established what we now know as the Wild Blue Yonder Wonders. And on the seventh day, as you know, God rested. But on the eighth day, at 0700, God looked down upon the earth and was not happy. God was not happy. So he thought about his labors, and in his infinite wisdom, God created a divine creature, and he called this a marine. And these marines, who God had created in his own image, were to be of the air and of the land and of the sea. And these he gave many wonderful uniforms. Some were green, some were blue with red trim, and in the early days, some were even a beautiful tan. He gave them practical fighting uniforms that they could wage war against the forces of Satan and evil. He gave them service uniforms for their daily work and training that they might be sharp and ready. And he gave them evening and dress uniforms, sharp, stylish, handsome things, so that they might promenade with their ladies on Saturday night and impress the heck out of everybody. He even gave them swords so that people who were not impressed could be dealt with. And at the end of the eighth day, God looked down upon the earth, and he saw that it was good. But was God happy? No. God was still not happy, because in the course of his labors, he had forgotten one thing. He did not have a marine uniform himself. But he thought about it, and he thought about it, and finally satisfied himself in knowing that, well, not everybody can be called a marine. But to everybody who has served in the armed forces on behalf of everybody at Coast to Coast, we salute you. So in a moment, open lines. I'm George Norrie. Don't touch your dial. And this is Coast to Coast AM. How would you like to feel 10 years younger in just 10 weeks? Well, now there's proof that the effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH human growth hormone. For some time now, you've heard us talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. And according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. And that's why people take Ultimate HGH. It's a natural formula to help boost your body's own production of HGH. And if your goal is to help improve energy and stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and even vision, then Ultimate HGH is for you. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you'll get the third absolutely free. That's about a $33 a month deal right there, and a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, with your order, get this, you'll receive a free book on HGH. That's a $20 value. That is absolutely free. So call now at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627.
Priceline. I never get tired of talking about Priceline.com, especially Priceline Hotels. With Priceline Hotels, you'll get all the comforts of a first-class hotel and all the savings, too. In fact, you can save up to 50% or more off the best available rates. How would you like to stay at Disney World in Orlando? One Priceline customer used Priceline recently and only paid $50 a night for a three-star hotel right near the park. Another got a four-star hotel on Michigan Avenue in Chicago for only $100 a night. The prices are unbelievable. It's the perfect thing for luxury vacations, last-minute getaways, or low-budget road trips, family reunions, and more. And all you have to do to start saving today is to go to www.priceline.com. Tell them whether you want a 2, 3, 4, or 5-star hotel, then name the price that you want to pay. It's really that easy. And Priceline guarantees that you'll get the lowest price for your hotel or they'll refund the difference. So the next time you want to save some money on a hotel room without sacrificing comfort or style, go to Priceline Hotels. It's the smart way to save on hotel rooms.
And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. By the way, if you ever want to email me, all you have to do to go to Art Bell's website is go to www.artbell.com. You click on Interact Email Hosts and fire away like this one. George, about 10 years ago, I was living in a home in Baltimore, Maryland with my two young daughters, and I was talking on the phone with my brother, who was a bachelor at the time, living alone. My two girls were on the living room floor watching TV in front of me when my brother and myself heard clear as a bell the voice of a little girl say, "Hello," and he at first thought it was one of my children picking up the second phone in the house. And when I told him that they were on the floor in front of me and that the phone I was on, I could clearly see across the room with the handheld phone on its base. 2 nights later, I heard someone call, "Mommy." I checked my girls, who were sound asleep, and upon going down the hallway to the kitchen, I heard what was directly behind me, the voice say, "Mommy," again. I felt very uneasy and, not knowing why, asked out loud just not to show itself. I continued living there for a year more after that, and with only hearing sounds of footsteps once in a while or a cold draft here and there, I never heard her voice again. Ooh, that is a little chilling. Let's go to the phones. First-time caller, welcome to Coast, you are on the air. Hi there. Hello?
Hello.
You are there.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
This is Coast to Coast, the Kingdom of Nye, AM 640.
Well, the Kingdom of Nye is where Art is. I am somewhere else out there.
Okay. I called to relate a dream.
Okay. What is it?
I'm standing in front of my window. The drapes are open. Looming in the horizon is a large double plate, pie-plated, flying saucer, going to parts unknown. Destination unknown. The drapes are closed. I know they're outside. I don't know what they want. I don't have anything to do with them. But they're still there. They won't go away. I know they won't go away. I'm outside. I'm with them. I have to go. There are five of them. They look like the Greys in Communion. And
how many times do you dream this?
Well, I've had an event. I tell them, one of them has their arms over me, crisscrossed over me, and I'm forced to go where they want. I have to say that if I'm sincere, if we have the same goals and the same values, there's no need to use force. And so he relents and lets me, he relents. He still has his tentacles around my legs. I go with him. The other is involved in a fight.
Do you go voluntarily or does he slide you in with his tentacles?
At this point, no, I'm voluntarily. Even though my lower legs are restrained, I'm still free. In fact, I feel empowered.
Sounds more like a nightmare, doesn't it?
A number of the others of the humans, another engaged in fight with humans. And at the end of it, they're transformed. At this point, I suggest to my companion that he might wish to be transformed as well. They're transmuted, I should say. That's changed in appearance.
And what do they transform him into?
They transmute into human form, human appearance. I suggest my companion, the other Aryan who has me, that he changed into human form as well.
Why do you think you're dreaming this?
Well, I think it just shows that I'm ambivalent, George. You see, there's a different attitude. I was fearful, and I'm trying to cooperate with him, but I think it shows that I'm basically ambivalent toward ETs.
How do you know? Why do you think this is a dream? What if it's really happening to you?
Well, I was asleep at the time.
Yeah, but a lot of this happens when you're asleep, doesn't it? These abduction cases, isn't that possible?
I thought that people, your audience would enjoy hearing this story. That's my sole motivation. And I, anyhow, by the way, I didn't know whether they were clothed or unclothed in my dream.
Does it matter?
Didn't matter in my dream.
Not at all.
Thank you very much for taking my call.
You always check in. That's a first-time caller. Let's go to our special phone line. People who are in severe and violent weather. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Good morning, George. This is Tom out of Oklahoma.
Tough weather in Oklahoma all the time, isn't it?
Yes. This year has been pretty slow, though. I think in our area around Tulsa, we only had 5 tornadoes, and usually it's over 50 or 60. And this happened in 99 when we had a couple of bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
I was in my truck, and I was in northern Oklahoma. It's 3 in the morning, and it's severe lightning, raining, everything. And I know the storm's coming because it's starting to rain real hard and heavy, and I'm trying to find a spot to pull over, which up there in the salt plains is flatter than flat, you know, nothing to hide from. And I got the scanner on, and it says, if you're on the town of Cherokee or a high 108, take cover now. There's a tornado on the ground, and it's pitch dark, and the rain is just coming at you one direction, then it's switching to another direction. And talking about the most fearful thing is not knowing where it's coming from.
And I bet it rains so hard it actually hurts when it hits your skin.
Yes, and the truck, I had the windows up completely, and I was getting drenched inside the truck. That's how hard it was raining. It was coming from the left side, then it comes from straight on, then from the right side. And I just kept on going. I was heavy. I was 80,000 pounds in a tanker. I just kept on going. And first truck stop, I pulled over, and Highway Patrol's out there, and they said, where'd you come from? I said, back east. He says, you know, there's a tornado on the ground there? I said, I think I was in it.
You probably were.
And,
you probably were. Did you? But it was so dark, you really couldn't see the thing, could you?
Couldn't see anything. I mean, it was raining so hard. I just tried to stay in the middle of the road, and you know they say to get out of your vehicle, but I think I would have been worse off if I got out of the vehicle.
I tell you, I saw a picture, and thanks for the call. I saw a picture of one of the tornadoes that buzzed through Ohio, and I'm telling you, that thing was huge, absolutely frightening. More of your phone calls. I'm George Norrie, and this is Coast to Coast AM.
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight. Just partly cloudy skies. It's going to be cool. Maybe a little bit of fog in some of the valleys later tonight. Temperature down to about 40 degrees, 30 south of Rochester. Tuesday becoming mainly gray. Couple of rain showers late in the afternoon, especially east of Rochester. The high temperature in the upper 40s. Wednesday mostly cloudy, mid 40s. Few more rain showers arrive again on Thursday. This is WHAM News Source 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
How do you spend your morning drive time?
Gas, brake, hog, punch, gas.
Doesn't it make more sense to use your time to become informed, educated, entertained? That's why we're here. Weather and traffic every 10 minutes. Sports with Brad Davies. Entertainment news with Bill Klein. And, of course, Beth and Chet.
First time I've ever been early for work.
The WHAM Morning News.
The role of daylight savings days. Housing farmers.
5 to 9 on News Radio 1180. WHAM.
Snowy can be mine.
As
you know, this is Bill's last week, and I just want to say there's not a more loyal, hardworking guy around. To Bill!
Speech! Bill, Bill, speech!
Wow, 33 years. Well, first of all, I want to thank everyone for this wonderful party. Over the years, I've made a lot of friends here, and there are lots of people I'd like to recognize for helping me, but most of all, I'd like to thank Rob. Rob saved my life at work last year when I had my heart attack. If he hadn't given me CPR, I probably wouldn't be here giving this speech.
Make sure you're prepared for an unexpected emergency. Call the Health and Safety Training Specialist at the Red Cross to sign up for programs like first aid, CPR, and AED training. We're the number one source for health and safety training programs. Call 241-4455 today. The Greater Rochester Chapter of the American Red Cross. For your community, for your life.
An important fiscal message from County Executive Jack Doyle.
When I was first elected, I promised the community that I would never balance the burden of county government on the backs of taxpayers. We all know the economy took a downturn, causing stress on family and government budgets. But during these difficult times, I commit to you that I will follow through on my pledge to hold down your taxes. That's why I've introduced a tax stability plan that makes some tough choices, but it balances our county budget without raising taxes. A property tax increase would destroy the dreams of young families trying to buy a first home, parents saving for their children's education, and seniors who want to pass on what they worked so hard to earn. We must reform county government to do more with less, protecting taxpayers while maintaining vital services, like public safety. We can get through this short-term crisis. We will share the pain of government reductions together, but we will survive without raising your taxes.
Paid for by the Monroe County Republican Committee.
Coast to Coast AM, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
How many times have you looked in the mirror and seen a reflection of a much older person? Nature does have this way of playing cruel tricks on us. But now you can make a remarkable change in your life by simply erasing decades of wear, stain, and broken teeth with the miracles of cosmetic dentistry. At Village Smiles, we're experts at restoring that youthful smile that's slowly disappeared over the decades. We enhance your teeth and create a beautiful new smile you'll be proud to display. We can achieve this remarkable transformation in as few as 2 visits. I invite you to visit our unique dental office and experience for yourself our relaxed environment and comfortable 5-star service. Cosmetic dentistry of the future is available now at Village Smiles.
Call today to schedule a free, no-obligation cosmetic consultation with Dr. Schwedfeger and give yourself a gift of a new smile, one you surely deserve. Call 385-2033 or visit on the web at villagesmiles.com.
News, weather, traffic, sports. It's the Wham! 5 o'clock News Hour with Joe LaMonaco. Weekdays at 5 on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Coast AM from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George at area code 541-665-0520. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. Now, here again is George Norrie.
At the top of the hour, my guest will be Neil Donald Walsh, one of the world's most prolific spiritual messengers, writers. He'll tell his story, of course. But he claims that he had a conversation with God. I want to tell you a little bit. You get your pencil out for a moment. You got some paper. I'm going to give you some phone numbers here. You know, for years, a lot of you have been asking that where can they get an Art Bell t-shirt or Coast to Coast hat or something that shows the world that they love coast to coast. Well, many believe that you could always find this merchandise. You just couldn't find it before, right? It's a little like Bigfoot. Where is he? Well, now that Art has announced his planned retirement, we thought we'd give you all a treat, I think, and help you find some of this material, this memorabilia, once and for all. You can call toll-free at 1-888-855-5574 to place your order for really the neatest Art Bell T-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, hats, even computer mouse pads. That's 1-888-855-5574. Now, for some online photos and ordering information, check out the Art Bell Gift Center at artbell.com, and you'll see that right on the left-hand side of the screen. You just click that on and take a look at that. You can even order online if you like. But the phone number, if you don't have a computer, is 1-888-885-5574. Now, let me tell you a little bit about the After Dark newsletter, where you still get that great deal of 14 issues for the price of 12. Now, After Dark is a part of Coast to Coast. It's been around for a long time. It's got thousands of subscribers. If you are not a part of the Coast to Coast team that picks up After Dark, well, you're missing something. So here's a number for that. And again, 14 issues for the price of 12. They throw in two. 1-888-727-5505. That's for After Dark now. That is 1-888-727-5505. Back in a moment. You know, there are some real tragic events in the news. Always, it just seems. Always. And what would you do in the event of, for example, a nuclear emergency? That's not too far-fetched, is it? The government, for example, is stocking up on anti-radiation pills for government officials and the military. So what about you and your family, the people you care about, the greatest threat to your health from the fallout of radioactive iodine, which can travel hundreds of miles, contaminating the air, food, and water, and young children especially at risk? There's promising news, though, that you can get the same kind of inexpensive protection in a new anti-radiation pill called NORAD. NORAD contains pharmaceutical-grade potassium iodide that helps protect you from the damaging effects of radioactive iodine. Well worth it, just putting it there in your medicine cabinet or in your first aid kit. Just keep it there. NORAD is available by calling 1-800-833-8737. That's 1-800-833-8737. Or you may order online at www.noradinfo.com. Let me spell that for you. NORADINFO.com. NORAD is also available at most health food stores. So why don't you stock up while the supplies last?
At First Horizon Home Loans, we know buying a home can be stressful. But there's at least one thing that isn't: getting your loan from us. We draw on the strength of a nationwide network of loan officers who will guide you every step of the way so you can move on to the things you'd rather be doing, like enjoying your new home. Call 800-600-4400 today. That's 800-600-4400. First Horizon Home Loans. Get home with less stress.
When was the last time you woke up feeling great, let alone normal?
I mean, I feel great. I really, truly feel like something has come over me. I mean, really refreshed and well-rested, almost like you just came out of a vacation.
Order Longevia now. There's a full money-back guarantee, so you've nothing to lose but anxiety and stress. Call 1-800-818-9288. That's 1-800-818-9288. Or log on to youngenergy.com.
Love this email. George, my first job out of school, I was an EMT with my local EMS, okay? I then became a firefighter on a volunteer status. I now work for the state's drug detection unit. I have had some pretty unusual events happen to me in the last 4 years or so. I've been haunted, for lack of better words, by people that I either tried to save during an ambulance run, fire call, or that I witnessed, let's say, the autopsy of. There have been times when I have been literally afraid to take a shower without my wife being in the bathroom because I knew that if I opened the shower curtain, someone or something would be right there. Ooh. I've never been one to believe in ghosts or spirits. I was just wondering if this has ever happened to anyone else in the medical profession, doctors, nurses, paramedics. I really have a hectic work schedule, but I try to listen to the show whenever I can. That's Sergeant Mark out there. Well, that is a very, I don't know. You know, there's nothing worse than opening up a shower curtain, seeing some entity looking right back at you, huh? Let's go to the calls. Let's go. Wildcard caller, you are on Coast to Coast. You may proceed. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Welcome.
Hi, this is Mark in the San Fernando Valley.
Oh, sure. Hi, Mark.
Still part of L.A. after
yes,
the ballot.
It is.
But I thought I would share a little of my own experience with God.
All right.
Whom I've described in the past as not only his or her own being, but as also the ultimate split personality.
Hmm.
I believe that God speaks through every voice, and I think the clearest means of communication is the events and situations that occur in our day-to-day lives with the results and lessons. So I think one would deduce that there is such thing as morality just from our day-to-day struggles.
Of course.
Now, as proof of my experience, I do think that God gave me genealogical evidence. For example, in my family tree, I noticed that there were family ties with Alfred Hitchcock. I remember the situation presented in the movie Rebecca.
No, what do you mean family ties with Alfred Hitchcock?
Well, the Hitchcock lineage.
Oh, really?
And also the Ken Russell lineage. I don't know if you've seen his films, but...
I thought for a moment Hitchcock had made movies about your family or something.
Well, Rebecca hits a little close to home in my own case, but Ken Russell also made the movie Tommy. I've also had symbols in my life. For example, I've actually experienced burning bushes. When I was working at Paramount Pictures, of course, that studio is known for its mountain logo, so that was sort of like going to the mountain.
Sure.
I get messages all the time, as I've mentioned before, T-shirts, bumper stickers. And I'm always, there's a lot of what people would call paranormal events in my life. For example, pennies manifesting around me and a myriad of other events. But as one to whom God and Christ has revealed themselves, I must raise the question when someone claims that there is no such thing as right or wrong, then whatever is there in existence worthy of God's love? Because mankind is going to be a colossal failure unless we spiritually evolve to a level where we can simply accept responsibility in our actions.
Well, don't you think, and thanks for the call, don't you think the biggest problem with mankind is his inability to really understand the cosmos? Because I think if he did that first, he'd get a better handle on just what might be out there. And that's why I'm looking forward to my interview with our guest at the top of the hour, Neil Donald Walsh, because, you know, he claims that he has had a conversation with God. Now, does he still continue it? We'll find out. And how does he even know that it is God? What if it's something else? What if it's some kind of being or an entity? So this one I'm looking forward to. Let's go to our special line. You are on Coast to Coast. Welcome to the program. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
Hi, my name is Rick. I'm calling you from Chicago.
Hello, Rick.
WLS.
WLS, the powerhouse of the Windy City.
Yep, the big lightning bolt. Anyway, I'm calling because I did go through a storm, and I've lived in Chicago my whole life. I'm 39 years old. Anyway.
What kind of a storm did you go through?
Well, it started out as a beautiful, you know, cloudy day, sun peeking through the clouds. And I took my son at the time was about 3.5
mm-hmm.
years old. So I put him on my bike, you know, on the little child seat. We went for a ride. Hey, you have to excuse me. I'm a little nervous.
No, don't be nervous. You know what? If you're going to be nervous, you would have been nervous in the storm, not on Coast to Coast.
Well, anyway, it wasn't windy. We went for a bike ride. We were out for about an hour. All of a sudden, it became windy. And I was probably, at that time, only like about 5 minutes from my house. By the time that I decided, well, you know, it's starting to get windy, I'm going to drive home. Or ride home, I'm sorry.
Right.
by the time I got to my back door to put my bike away, I thought I was going to be blown off my bike. And this storm rolled in so fast, I couldn't even open up my back door because that's the direction the wind was coming at.
You thought you were going to be doing one of the Wizard of Oz routines, huh?
I thought I was in the Wizard of Oz. I thought it was daydreaming. But I grabbed my son off my bike. I just laid my bike down on the ground. I actually parked it up against my porch. Grabbed him. I decided, well, if the wind won't let me open up, because I had him in one arm, if I couldn't open up the back door, I know I'm going to be able to open up the front door. So I went to the front door, and as I was going to the front door, now it didn't even start raining out yet, and the ground wasn't even wet yet. And as soon as I went around my fence to go to the front door,
mm-hmm.
I have two cherry blossom trees in the front. Well, one of them was uprooted right out of the ground.
How big was the tree? Was it a little tree or a big tree?
It was probably about two stories tall.
My gosh.
Yeah, I'm going to say about 17 to 20 feet tall.
You might have been right in the middle of a tornado.
No. I was watching the news when I went to the house. I was looking. All it was a storm. It just blew in so fast that I just couldn't believe it. I grabbed my son. My only thought in my mind at that time was to get me and my son into the house. Because it was hailing out a little.
I've heard stories, Rick, that people have been picked up and dropped off in certain places. Some of them miraculously still alive.
Last caller who was mentioning about daily lessons in God.
Yes.
This was one of my daily lessons.
I would guess so.
I was just amazed that I made it in the house. I mean, I wasn't even wet. And as soon as I got into the house, I'm looking out my window to see what's going on. And then it started downpouring. But the thing that amazed me is you'd think that the tree would rip out of the ground after the ground was saturated from the wind.
Sure.
But the ground wasn't even saturated. The wind just ripped the tree right out of the ground.
That's a powerful force. That's scary stuff, I'll tell you. Scary stuff. West of the Rockies, your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
I have an interesting scenario that I'd like to run by you.
All right, let's give it a try.
Okay, let's say this whole Iraqi situation breaks down and we end up going to war.
Okay, which is very possible.
Which is very possible. Now, no doubt Hussein would resist, and the first thing he'll do is shoot a bunch of missiles at Israel to try and start World War III in the Middle East.
Okay.
Okay, let's say one or two of these missiles get through the anti-missile system the Israelis have, and they actually hit the Dome of the Rock, destroying it. Well, the entire Middle East would call for Hussein's head on a silver platter for destroying Islam's third most holiest site, and the Israelis would gain a bunch of vacant land to build their third temple on.
Unless they blame us for Hussein launching the missile.
Well, okay, but I mean, technically, out of the rubble, they would dig Husseini parts from a missile. So there
possible.
Would be no mistaking where it came from.
Possible.
But it is an interesting scenario because the Israelis will never destroy the Dome of the Rock because that would provoke World War III in the Middle East. Somehow, some way to make Bible prophecy happen, the Dome of the Rock has to be moved out of the way, and a Hussein missile would seem to do an ideal job of it.
Do you think he's aiming one right out there?
Well, I don't know, but I mean, if he's going to shot... Now, I think he has an upgraded missile. He doesn't have the Scuds anymore. I think he's got something better from the Chinese. But, you know, if it's something bigger and better, one missile might have the capability to take out the Dome of the Rock clean with one shot.
I had read that they thought he might have about a dozen Scuds hidden away somewhere.
Well, I heard he got some more upgraded missiles from the Chinese that are even bigger and better than the Scuds. But, I mean, who knows, you know. I'm not an arms inspector.
I think we're going to find out pretty soon.
Be an interesting scenario to see the Dome of the Rock removed by Hussein.
Well, I'm not sure I'd like to see that happen, but it would be interesting. Thanks for the call. Next up, let's go east of the Rockies. Your turn on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Where are you calling from?
Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Georgia. Good. What's your name?
Michael.
Hello, Michael.
And it's raining here.
Oh, he's just... yeah.
Anyway, what I wanted to tell you is I had a couple of weird things happen to me when I was in the military in 1970. One of them concerned the UFO. But I'll get to the first little story right first. I was at Fort Polk in 1970,
mm-hmm.
went through training, and we had just about finished our training. Everybody, you know, was just about headed for Vietnam. They took us at 3 o'clock in the morning out in the woods. We all had to sleep. And they had us sit on these bleachers, and they had a podium there, you know, with the sergeants, some officers, and they was telling us, don't trust, you know, anything you see or hear. And they had a North Vietnamese soldier come out in the middle there, you know, between the bleachers and was talking and stuff. And the sergeant walked up to him, waved his hand to him, and he disappeared.
He disappeared?
I swear to God, it wasn't there. I mean, we've seen it. And if you'd have looked, you'd have said it's real. And it wasn't 3D, it was 4D. I mean, it was there. And then all of a sudden, a great big genie come up by the podium, at least 20 feet tall. It was color. You know how you see the television shows today with the cartoon characters
in there? Yeah, that huge thing.
It's and it was big, and it was talking, and, you know, all kind of crazy.
Oh, you're pulling my leg.
No, I'm not pulling your leg. I swear to God. I've always tried to figure out, and we weren't supposed to say anything about it. And matter of fact, I think we even signed a paper or something to that effect.
Well, the genie, like, puffed out of what, a lamp or something?
No, it just appeared. It was like a little, some smoke, you know, there by the podium. Then all of a sudden it appeared, and it was like 20 feet tall, and it was moving and talking. Its lips were moving, its eyes, and it was really weird.
Well, you think it was like a hologram? Maybe they
had some... right. That's all what I was thinking. And, you know, that's the only conclusion I could come to years later. Of course, I was young then, didn't know. None of us did. And, you know, they was going on about don't trust anything you see and only half what, you know, you hear there. Don't believe anything you hear and half what you see.
Were they trying to scare you or initiate you into something?
No, they were trying to show us that, you know, you can be fooled, you know, by what you see. And it wasn't really there. They just created it. You know?
Well, it worked, whatever they did. I'll tell you, first-time caller, welcome to Coast to Coast. You are on the air. Hi there.
Hi, how you doing, George?
Good, I'm doing great.
Hi, this is Michael. I'm calling from East Boston, Massachusetts.
Uh-huh.
I get you on the 50,000 power station WRKO up here.
Oh, it's a great, that entire region's out there is great.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, I've been listening to the Coast to Coast show now for a couple of years. My wife got me into it. You know, they have a lot of questions on some of these forms you fill out. If you have trouble sleeping, they should ask you if you're a Coast to Coast listener. That would probably explain it. I had a question I want to ask you. I also wanted to elaborate a little bit on an out-of-body experience I had.
Right.
Back when I was about 17, I joined the U.S. Navy, and I went to boot camp out in Great Lakes. Now, when I flew out there, it was about 11 o'clock at night. It was only a couple-hour flight, but we'd been up all day, and we're all drained. I'd been in a holding facility at a hotel for the whole day. So we got there. Needless to say, I was pretty much drained, and we took a bus. We flew into O'Hare Airport in Chicago, and the boot camp is about a good 30 miles outside the city, so it's a good long bus ride. And it was a bunch of us, all civilians, going into boot camp. And it was probably around maybe 1 o'clock in the morning, central, by this time. So I had no idea of exactly the route I had taken into the place. Getting down to the end of basic training, right before the end, about maybe a week, week and a half before, they had a big saying in the service. I don't know if you were in the military or...
Oh, nine years Navy for me.
Well, you know the old saying, hurry up and wait. That was
real. and wait.
Yep. Lines everywhere. So I tended to, a lot of guys tend to pass out, whatnot, faint, whatever. You stand in line for so long and you get a little dizzy. But I had one experience that wasn't a faint spell or nothing like that. I had actually left. I was flying over the place and I thought nothing of this until I had left boot camp. The experience I had was I was actually out of my body. I was flying over the boot camp area, and I had seen a road. I was flying over a road.
All right.
It was an entrance road coming into the place, and it was all wooded areas. But there was a whole line of houses on one side of this road. Now, mind you, when I came in, it was dark. I was drained. I had not seen anything. I was unaware, oblivious to my surroundings when I came into this boot camp area. When I graduated, my aunt had drove all the way out from Massachusetts, from Boston, with my cousin. And when they picked me up at the boot camp base, and we drove out to downtown Chicago, we drove down this road, and that's when I had the deja vu, like I had seen this before.
You knew exactly the houses, the whole layout, didn't you?
I seen it all, the colored houses, three blue houses in a stretch, whatever. But the funny thing is, it really, over these years, it was been in the back of my mind to the last, I'm 34 years old now. The last 5 years of listening to you, this show has just opened up so many of my senses and awareness to some some of the things that have happened in my life, and maybe even in my past life.
Well, there's no doubt. No doubt about it. Thanks for the call. And, of course, the last year with me, the last five, of course, with Art Bell. And this is what Coast to Coast is all about. It's that awareness. Let's take one more real quick call. Let's go to the special line. You're on Coast to Coast. I've got about 45 seconds for you.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Doing great.
Good. Wanted to call and tell you about a storm experience that I had and a lot of other North Carolinians had in 1989.
All right. Make it a fast, stormy story.
Hurricane Hugo. Hurricane Hugo came to shore down in Charleston, South Carolina. I live around Charlotte, North Carolina, which is about 200 miles inland from where it came to shore. When it got to us, it was still a Category 3 hurricane. It got 200
miles. Pretty good size. Pretty good size, wasn't it?
Exactly. And it uprooted trees, and people were out from anywhere from a week up to three and a half weeks. It was a pretty severe storm for the time.
I got to tell you, you know, I again, never been in one of those situations. Hope I never am, and hope you aren't anymore either. Stick around. I'm George Norrie. Conversations with God just ahead on Coast to Coast AM.
News Radio 1180, WHAM.
How's that plaid sofa looking in your living room? The one that sits about 4 inches lower than when you got it? Funny, at the time, you were looking for anything functional. But that's not where you are now. You're looking for something that looks as good as it feels. Something that reflects your style. Something at Viking International Furniture. Blending the sophisticated styles and quality craftsmanship of the latest European designs, Viking is where you'll find unique sofas, chairs, dining rooms, and accessories for your modern home. Viking International, contemporary furniture for contemporary people like you. 1225 Jefferson Road in the Frontier Commons or online at vikinghome.com.
Viking International.
With the holidays and the harsher weather upon us, do you ever have the desire to help people in need, but you're just not sure how? Then here's a great opportunity for you to help others as well as yourself. Join me, Beth Adams, and the Salvation Army this Saturday at Parenton Square Mall as we rally for ringers. Sign up to be a bell ringer, and you'll automatically be registered to win a beautiful ring from Fine Line Jewelers at Parenton Square Mall to keep for yourself or to give to a loved one as a special holiday gift. You'll also receive tickets to a free showing of the new movie, The Santa Claus 2. So please, don't just think about it this year. Do it. Bring your donations of dry goods, clothing, or household items to Parenton Square Mall this Saturday, November 16th from 9 to 2. And while you're there, sign up to be a ringer. We'll have delicious treats from Leo's Bakery and hot pizza from Mark's Pizzeria and movie tickets for The Santa Claus 2 and lots of other special prizes in return for your kindness. This is the time of year you may hear a lot about the Salvation Army. Why? Because this is the time of year Rochesterians need them most.
Watch it later. Read about it tomorrow. Hear it now. News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester.
A clear channel radio station.
CBS News. I'm Jim Shenevy. Iraq's parliament scheduled to convene at this hour for a session that could see a vote on whether to accept or reject the latest United Nations resolution. Correspondent Mark Noller.
At the White House, the Iraqi parliament debate is regarded as a sham. National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice says there's only one person who'll decide if Iraq submits to the UN resolution on disarmament.
I don't think anybody believes that this is anything but an absolute dictatorship and that this decision is up to Saddam Hussein.
And as far as the U.S. is concerned, Saddam has only one choice, agree to disarm or, as President Bush warned again today, face a U.S.-led military strike that will force him to give up his weapons of mass destruction. Mark Noller, CBS News, the White House.
Israeli tanks rolled into a Palestinian refugee camp in Tokarum in the northern West Bank early Tuesday. Three Palestinians were arrested. No confrontations reported. This latest incursion comes after the weekend shooting spree on an Israeli communal farm that left five dead. The Senate reconvenes in the morning with Democrats still in control, at least for now. Correspondent Bob Fuss.
The unusual lame duck session is made up of the old Congress with two notable exceptions. The late Paul Wellstone Senate seat is filled by Dean Barkley, an independent chosen by that state's governor, Jesse Ventura. And as soon as Missouri's new Senator Jim Talent has his election certified, he'll be sworn in to replace defeated Jean Carnahan, since she was appointed to her seat and never elected.
The death toll is up to 36 in the weekend string of tornadoes across five states. More than a dozen people are still missing in the hard-hit town of Mossy Grove, Tennessee. Reporter Jim Krasula is there.
Despite the high number of storm deaths in this small community, there are dozens of stories of miraculous survival. Kent Timmons and his wife Jane hurried into their laundry room as the deadly storm approached.
We ran in here, and she got down there, and I kind of leaned over and started praying.
Somehow the Timmons survived with only a few scratches, even though their home was virtually destroyed. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Mossy Grove, Tennessee.
Roman Catholic bishops have gathered in Washington, and the sex abuse crisis, the main topic on the agenda. Correspondent Barry Bagnetto is there.
An internet database of some 600 priests publicly accused of abuse is being unveiled by a group of Catholic activists. This as bishops here defend Vatican-ordered revisions to their tough sex abuse policy. Critics claim there are loopholes. But Bridgeport, Connecticut Bishop William Laurie says if a priest is removed from ministry for committing abuse just once...
We mean that that priest will in no way function as a priest.
Barry Bagnato, CBS News at the Bishops' Conference, Washington.
A Long Beach, California man is under arrest, accused of being the serial rapist responsible for at least 13 assaults since 1996. Mark Rathbone was arrested near the scene of an attempted rape. Police say he was linked to the crime spree through DNA evidence. This is CBS News.
If you're trying to lose weight, then grab your pen and paper, because now you can try Carbolife Gold for free. That's right. The makers of Carbolife are giving away free trial packs to everyone who calls right now. You heard right. Everyone who calls right now can get a free trial pack of Carbolife Gold. You want to lose weight for free? You got it. Carbolife Gold has become Chicago's favorite weight loss supplement. In fact, Linda from Aurora lost 42 pounds. Cindy from Crystal Lake lost 61 pounds. Tina from Elmwood Park lost over 80 pounds and keeps it off with Carbolife Gold. Now it's your turn. Don't delay. If you're serious about wanting to lose weight, now's your chance to do it for free. Get your free two-week trial pack of Carbolife Gold by calling now. This offer is not available in stores, and the supplies are limited.
Call 1-800-689-1752. That's 1-800-689-1752. Burn the fat now with your free two-week trial pack of Carbolife Gold. Call now. 1-800-689-1752. 1-800-689-1752.
Yet another study linking wine drinking to health benefits. CBS News correspondent Dave Barrett has the story.
Sipping wine might keep you from getting Alzheimer's.
There is an association between the fact that these people drank 1 to 3 glasses of wine per day and the lower incidence of dementia.
Dr. Aaron Miller, head of neurology at Brooklyn's Maimonides Medical Center, has seen the Danish study. Patients had a fair bit of the grape.
Well, I would consider 3 glasses of wine a day more than a little. But maybe the Danes consider it otherwise.
It's what's in the wine that helps.
Antioxidants seem to have some protective effects on brain cells.
He says don't change your drinking habits to stay healthy.
I think still moderation is the byword here.
Dave Barrett, CBS News.
A cruise to forget for nearly 200 people who were sickened by a stomach virus during a Caribbean cruise that ended Monday in Fort Lauderdale. None of the 163 passengers or 18 crew members had to be hospitalized. The ship has been given a good scrub down. Jim Shenevy, CBS News.
Reason number 8, to listen to Paul Harvey. If you're following along at home, he always reminds you what page he's on.
Now, page 2.
Paul Harvey, 3 times a day.
Page 3.
On News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Now, page 4.
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight. Just partly cloudy skies. It's going to be cool. Maybe a little bit of fog in some of the valleys later tonight. Temperature down to about 40 degrees, 30 south of Rochester. Tuesday becoming mainly gray. Couple of rain showers late in the afternoon, especially east of Rochester. The high temperature in the upper 40s. Wednesday mostly cloudy, mid-40s. Few more rain showers arrive again on Thursday. This is WHAM News Source 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
Hello.
A lot of
FIFA.
I just won $1,000.
That's terrific.
Oh, my God.
Are winning a lot of money.
Did I win?
With Talkin' Cash.
Oh, right.
Are you kidding me?
You could be next.
Cash.
Be one of the first 25 nationwide callers when you hear the cue to call. Brought to you by Wilson Farms and Sugar Creek Stores. Home of Shabana Coffee.
And I just won $1,000. No way.
From the station with money to burn.
Oh,
I just won $5,000
in cash.
News Radio 1180.
Oh, yes. This is awesome.
WHAM.
Meantime. Sound of the river, you're stopping your whole everything. A band is blowing Dixie, double ball time.
Networks presents Coast to Coast AM. Now, here's George Norrie.
You know, every once in a while there comes a time in our lives that you have to reach out to somebody, something. We've all been there, haven't we? Tonight will be a story of that. That reaching out. And it worked. I'll be talking with best-selling author, Conversations with God series, Neil Donald Walsh, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. How would you like to melt away excess body fat, trim those unwanted inches without strict dieting or strenuous exercise? And it is possible now with Ultimate Slim. It's the all-natural, scientifically designed formula to metabolize your fat into energy. Ultimate Slim helps block carbohydrates, fat absorption, reduce these sugar cravings, and also lose water weight. Within minutes, you'll feel more energetic without any nervous side effects. Within days, you'll start losing inches, your clothes will be looser, and within weeks, your waist will be actually thinner, and you'll be ready for the holidays. And I recommend Ultimate Slim because it's perfect if you want a lean, sexy body, but just don't have time for a lot of calorie counting or these long, sweaty workouts. So what are you waiting for? Even Will, my board op, has lost about 60 pounds now with Ultimate Slim. So what are you waiting for? Why don't you burn fat the quick and easy way with Ultimate Slim? And order two bottles of Ultimate Slim. You get two more absolutely free. That's 50% off. Plus, you'll also receive the Healthy Eating Guide and a cookbook, a $20 value, absolutely free as well. So call now at 1-800-557-4627. Not available in stores. Ultimate Slim is guaranteed to work or your money back. 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627.
Have you thought about trying Viagra, but you just don't want to talk about it with your family doctor? Maybe it's just inconvenient or too much hassle to make an appointment. Well, now it's as easy as a phone call to Lifestyle Pharmaceutical Products. Now you can order the real Viagra for as little as $6 per standard 50-milligram dose. In just minutes over the phone, you'll be asked a few confidential questions pertaining to your health. No prior prescription needed. Your information will be reviewed by a physician, and upon doctor's approval, your Viagra will be shipped discreetly and delivered in just 2 business days. Or we can arrange for you to pick it up at any full-service FedEx location, no extra charge. Viagra by phone. It's easy, convenient, and completely confidential. No prior prescription necessary. Call now, 1-800-407-6252. That's 1-800-407-6252. Again, that's 1-800-407-6252.
Neil Donald Walsh is a modern-day spiritual messenger whose words continue to touch the world in a truly profound way. With an early interest in religion and deeply felt connection to spirituality, Neil spent the majority of his life thriving professionally, yet searching for spiritual meaning before beginning his now famous Conversation with God. His With God series of books has been translated now into 27 languages, touching millions of lives and inspiring important changes in their day-to-day lives. Neil was born in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, to a Roman Catholic family that encouraged his quest for spiritual truth. And serving as his first spiritual mentor, Neil's mother taught him not to be afraid of God, as she believed in having a personal relationship with the divine, teaching Neil to do the same. A non-traditional believer, Neil's mother hardly ever went to church, and when he asked her why, she told Neil, "I don't have to go to church. God comes to me. He's with me and around me wherever I am." This view of God at an early age would later move Neil to transcend traditional views of organized religion. He grew into an insatiably curious child whose comments about life seemed to possess a wisdom beyond his years. And while attending a Catholic grade school, Neil would often pose questions in a catechism class that would extend past the traditional grade school curriculum. Finally, the parish priest invited Neil to his rectory to answer questions, and this meeting turned into a once-a-week visit that blossomed into an open forum where Neil learned not to be afraid to ask questions about religion and spirituality, and also learned that his asking these types of questions did not mean that he would offend God. Tonight, a very special conversation with Neil Donald Walsh. Neil, welcome to Coast. So good to have you.
Thank you. It's lovely to be here.
My pleasure. I've got to tell you, I've had more emails come in about you over the last 6 months than anybody that I've interviewed on Coast to Coast. People who have not only read your books, but just want to hear from you. So I'm glad you're here.
Well, I'm very glad to be here too, George. Thank you for asking me.
Let's go back to the point where you began to write Conversations with God. Tell me, at that point, what was going on in your life, Neil?
Well, I had reached the lowest point of my existence. I was very near to committing suicide. I was quite seriously considering just ending my stay here, and that was because everything in life that could go wrong was going wrong for me. My relationship with my significant other was ending, and I did not think that was possible. I thought that I was with a person that I would be with for the rest of my life. But what made it more painful than ever was that it wasn't the first time it had happened. It was it's happened many times before, multiple times, in fact, and it seemed as if I just couldn't get it right, that no matter what I tried or what I did, I could not hold a relationship together. I tried being meek. I tried being mild. I tried being nicer than nice. And in the process of doing all those adjustments to myself, I realized that I had literally abandoned who I really was. And one day I looked in the mirror and I saw that I had disappeared myself in an effort to somehow show up, you know, in another person's life as worthy of having them there. And so that was very upsetting to me, because having made all those adjustments and still producing the same result of a very unhappy relationship, I thought, my God, what does it take? But beyond that, my career had reached a dead end as well.
So all this is happening to you then at the same time?
At the same time. I'm having my relationship fall apart. I'm having my career fall apart. I'm having my health fall apart, all at the same time. And that had never happened that way in my life prior to that. I had had times when my relationship was really doing well and my career was falling apart, or my career was not doing so well, but my relationship was at least hanging in there, or my health. But here was all three at the same time. And I have to tell you, I woke up one night after about 3 months of brooding about how everything that could go wrong was going wrong. I finally said, you know, I don't want to play anymore. So this has stopped being fun quite a while back, and I'm really tired of the struggle. And so it was on a night in February of 1992 that I just gave up, and I began pacing the house in the middle of the night, not knowing what I wanted to do, why I was even up, what I was attempting there. I was just pacing the floor in the middle of the night. And it was, the house was dark, and I sat down on the couch in the darkened living room. I sat there by the light of the full moon coming through the window, as I recall, and there I was, stewing in my own juice, as it were,
mm-hmm.
trying to figure things out. And I began asking a series of questions in my mind. And I was furious, George. I was so angry. I was so upset with life itself. And I began asking myself questions. What does it take to make life work?
Were you blaming life, Neil, for the upsetting things that were happening in your life?
Yes, I was, because after a while I realized that it couldn't be me. I mean, I know that I was responsible, of course, for part of it, but I thought, now, wait a minute. When life dumps on you the way I was dumped on, all things happening at the same time, I just thought, okay, what do you want? You know, I'm speaking out now to the universe in general. What do you want from me?
Mm-hmm.
And what does it take here? Somebody give me the rule book, because, you know what, I'll dance to your game. I'll play the rules, but somebody tell me what the heck the doggone rules are.
Yeah, and quit dealing me these cards, huh?
Yeah.
Change the deck a little bit.
Exactly. And so that's where I was, sitting on the couch, and I really wanted to scream out. I was so furious in the middle of the night, but I didn't want to wake up half the household. And so I found a yellow legal pad on the coffee table in front of me, and I flicked on a lamp, located a pen, and I began writing off, dashing off a very, very angry letter to the universe. An angry letter to God, if you please, asking these questions. You know, what do you want? Just tell it to me straight, or let me get out of here. Just give me the courage to just get out, because I don't want to play like this. And as I was writing these questions, I heard a voice over my right shoulder in the middle of the night, and the voice was as clear, as distinct, as present as ours is to each other right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I whipped around to see who had walked into the house, how they got in the middle of the night. But, of course, there was no one there. And I my blood ran cold. I mean, a chill raced up my back, and I was frightened, of course.
Sure.
Except that the words of this voice were not very frightening. And the sound of the voice was so sweet and so gentle, in an almost...
calming?
I'm sorry?
Very calming?
Extremely so. To the point that my whole system, my whole biological system, just went on almost on shutdown. Not in a bad way, but just all the nerve endings just released. I just sat there so becalmed. That's a very good word, George, that I ceased to be afraid almost as instantly as I thought of being afraid.
Mm.
And what the voice said was not terribly remarkable. In fact, it was almost humorous. You know, I would have thought if I was going to hear a voice that would say something, you know, wonderful, like, I'm here, or... what it said was simply, Neil, do you really want answers to all of these questions, or are you just venting?
And you know what? And the voice couldn't have said it any poignantly. Perfect. Right on the spot.
Yeah, it was very human, very direct, and very real. And after I got over my first one-quarter second of fear and moved into that place of calmness that I spoke of, I remember answering in my mind. I remember thinking to myself, you know, I don't know, I am venting, but I would like answers, and if you got them, I'd sure as hell like to know what they are.
Right.
And with that, I received answers to all the questions I had been asking, and to every question that ever existed. I mean, what I'm trying to say is I received answers to questions I hadn't even asked. And how that felt was, it felt suddenly as if my entire mind was filled with data. I guess it's the same phenomenon I've had before in the shower stall, or driving down the road, or walking through the park, when I'll just get a great idea, and suddenly your mind is filled with exactly how you want to write that article, or just the way you want to produce that project, and it's all there in front of you, and you got to race to get home to get it all down before you forget it. It was like that, except that I had everything I ever wanted to know was right there in my mind, and I realized that I had to write it down. So I began writing down everything that I was finding there in my mind, and in my effort to get it down as fast as I could, I realized I was losing it. It was escaping me. So I actually called out to this presence. Please don't make this go away. Give this to me more slowly.
Yeah, calm down. Go slow a little bit. At that point, Neil, Were you aware of what the voice might have been?
You know, I didn't even think that far at that point. I was so, I almost want to use the word, and I use it advisedly, sedated by the process. I wasn't thinking intellectually.
Mm-hmm.
I was totally out of my left brain. And I was thinking intuitively. I was just kind of like going with the experience, and I was so much inside of the experience that I couldn't look at it from the outside in, which would have given me some sense of objectivity. It was the ultimate subjectivity, the ultimate sense of being one with the experience I was having, so much one with it that I could not judge it, assess it, be frightened by it, look at it in any way. I could only have it. I could only have the experience. And that's the way I would describe it. Now, of course, in that moment, I wouldn't describe it that way. Because I was having the experience from such an internal place that I was merely moving through it.
Were you excited with the answers that you were getting to questions that you probably might not ever have asked of anybody else?
I was becalmed. I don't even think excited would be, frankly, is a word I would use. I think I was inspired, which is a little bit of a different nuance than excited. Mm-hmm. I was just deeply inspired, and I began, frankly, to cry. I sat there on the couch, and I can remember the tears falling on the yellow legal pad because I had written with a rollerball pen, and the ink was running on the paper where my tears were falling. And,
yeah.
And they were tears of sheer joy. And, of course, what happened to me as I began to receive this information and asked, you know, is there a way you can slow down? And the voice almost seemed to say, in a sense, sure, ask me what you want to know one question at a time, and we'll talk one question at a time. I won't give it to you all at once. And so with that, I began asking questions, and I began receiving answers. And the answers, of course, generated more questions. And the more questions I asked, the more answers I received. In fact, before I could even finish the question in my mind, the answer would be given to me before I even got to the end of the question. And so I began, I said, just still going too fast. I can't remember all this. And the command came very, very simply, well then, write it down. And so I, okay. And I began to write down what I was experiencing in my mind, what I was hearing in my head. And I was still hearing it. As a voice, the voice now was internal. It had moved from just over my right shoulder and behind me into the inside of my head, but still seemed to be coming, for whatever reason, from the right side, as if someone were gently whispering in my right ear. And I began this dialogue, this on-paper dialogue, in which I would ask a question, be given the answer immediately, and that would generate another question, more often than not, and I was having a conversation and that I was writing down on paper. By the way, never dreaming in a gazillion years that anyone would ever be privy to this or see anything that I was writing.
Right. You thought for a moment, these are going to be my private papers. And did you think for a moment that you were just having a conversation with your inner self?
Yes. And I even asked what I thought was my inner self that question. I said, you know, how do I know this is not just me talking to myself? How do I know this is not just my imagination? And the voice said, what would be the difference? You think that there's some difference between your imagination or your higher self and the source of all wisdom or the source of all insight in the universe, and I'm telling you there is no difference.
That's a great answer, too. It really is.
Because in that answer, I received the main message of what turned out to be 7 books worth of dialogue, but I got that in about the first minute and a half, which was, there is no separation, by the way, of anything from anything.
You know, I've read Conversations with God, and it's remarkable. More importantly, it's your soul, and for you to be able to conceive of that and to be able to let so many other people share that. And as you said, you didn't do it with the intent of having the entire world seeing that. How did that happen?
Anybody seeing it, anybody
right.
at all.
What happened at that stage as your life is beginning to change at that very moment?
Yeah.
How did you decide or when did you decide to share that?
Very good question. about one-third of the way into what became Book One, which for me was... let me explain it, that this dialogue that I was having went on for the entire night. It was for the next 4 hours or so. It was 8:30 in the morning on a Saturday morning. This began on a Friday, in the Friday-Saturday morning time. And by Saturday morning at 8:30, I had been sitting there for 4 hours writing. And, you know, ordinarily, if I was writing a letter to someone, my hand would get tired after about 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But for some reason or another, I was able to write and write and write and write on yellow legal pads, page after page after page, for 4 hours. I was neither mentally, intellectually, nor physically tired. And somewhere in the middle of that writing, which turned out to be in the, just in that first night alone, probably 30 or 40, maybe more than I didn't stop to count, handwritten pages of stuff, somewhere in there it said, this will one day become a book. And I thought to myself, now that's crazy. You know, 50 million people a year send the great American book to their friendly publisher.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I can just imagine me sending this to a publisher and having him say, oh, terrific, we got a book here from a guy who says he talked to God. That stands a real high chance, yeah, getting on the A-list.
What kind of a night did he have? Look at all this stuff, yeah.
But I'll tell you something that struck me right then. I thought, you know what? This is an interesting way to test the veracity of what I'm experiencing. I've been given a direct statement, a prediction, if you will. This will one day become a book. As unlikely as that would be, that someone would take the middle of the night mental meanderings of some weird guy in Oregon and publish them, as unlikely as that is, what a great way to test whether what I'm experiencing here has any veracity, any validity at all. So, because it was one of the few objective statements, I should say, it was one of the few statements in the book that was measurable. Most of what I was receiving, most of the data that I was getting by this process, was not measurable data. It was conceptual data that you don't put a yardstick to.
Sure.
Was a statement that one could measure, because it either became a book or it didn't become a book.
When did you finally stop writing during that day, that episode? You went
around
4 hours?
Around 9 o'clock in the morning, people were starting to get up. It was a Saturday morning, fortunately for me, so it was a late arising for most people in my house, the children, and the lady that I was with. And so they started to get up around 8:30, and I continued writing a little bit, and then I became very distracted, and I had to stop. So I put things carefully down on the coffee table in front of me, and actually went to bed, because I had been up all night. And fortunately, it was a Saturday, and I did not have to go to work, and so I was able to sleep in. I went back to bed, and I got up around 12 o'clock, and typical of how things are in mm-hmm. most casual households, the pad of paper and the pencil were right there where I left them. Nobody even bothered to disturb them or move them, or for that matter, read them. They were just, you know, there. And so I just kind of carefully moved them back into my den, into my little office that I had in the house, where they were the next night, when at 4:20 in the morning I was awakened, literally awakened out of a sound sleep.
Again, hold that thought. Hold that thought. Neil Donald Walsh, my guest. I'm George Norrie. Conversations with God.
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight. Just partly cloudy skies. It's going to be cool. Maybe a little bit of fog in some of the valleys later tonight. Temperature down to about 40 degrees, 30 south of Rochester. Tuesday becoming mainly gray. Couple of rain showers late in the afternoon, especially east of Rochester. The high temperature in the upper 40s. Wednesday mostly cloudy, mid 40s. Few more rain showers arrive again on Thursday. This is WHAM News Source 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
Now, we keep hearing from the left that they have a First Amendment right to speak their mind, which they most certainly do.
Michael Savage.
So when you hear one of these left-wing ninnies saying, oh, I said this, and it's protected, how dare you say to me that it's repugnant? Well, because you are a repugnant, wimpy, left-wing, commie red from hell, and you ought to be thrown off campus, and you ought to lose your job, and you should have your tenure stripped.
Michael Savage.
And you don't like it? Let him shut his mouth and salute the flag.
Weeknight today on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Without Charlie Rowe, the memories you cherish today just might not exist. Over 100 years ago, Charlie Rowe opened Rowe Photographic and began saving the memories of your grandfather and grandmother. Your mother as a baby, your father as a young man, even you. You as a baby and a teenager and a newlywed and a mom and a dad. And as you go down the road towards grandparenthood, Rowe Photographic, now Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio, remains in the memory business. We're all in the memory business. We remember that first car and the first date, the junior prom and the senior ball. We remember weddings and babies. And isn't it glorious? We have photos and videotapes, old sepia-toned shots of grandparents. Maybe even that one of you as a two-year-old in the tub. For well over 100 years now, Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio has been the keeper of the flame. We still are. Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio, 1737 Mount Hope Avenue, and Rowe on the Ridge, Buckman's Plaza in Greece. I don't have to tell you that this summer's drought wreaks some serious havoc on your lawn. What I can tell you is without the right care right now, your lawn may not bounce back the way you think it will. Call One Step Tree and Lawn Care, the locally owned tree and lawn care company. One Step Tree and Lawn Care knows the nuances of soil composition in every neighborhood in town. The first thing One Step does with every new customer is take a soil sample. So One Step Tree and Lawn Care can create custom lawn care formulas that work for your yard, not the lawn across the street or the lawn across town. If your trees, your shrubs, and your lawn are looking distressed, don't wait until spring because you could be in for a costly surprise. Call One Step Tree and Lawn Care right now and get them started on the road back to health. Call 594-1095.
The first step to a better looking yard. One Step Tree and Lawn Care.
And online at onestepteeandlawn.com.
Coast to Coast AM, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
You're listening to a sample of Mix 100.5, the clear channel radio station that plays the best variety of the 80s, 90s, and now. Nearly half a million people listen to clear channel stations in Rochester every week, including Mix 100.5.
Drops of Jupiter in her head.
When you want music variety, you want Mix. Rochester's Mix 100.5.
Chet Walker for Sage Ruddy and Company, helping the people of Rochester plan and prepare their financial future for three generations. Sage Ruddy will review your existing portfolio and help you manage your investment portfolio. Sage Ruddy has a team of specialists that work with you, including insurance professionals, attorneys, and certified financial planners that are happy to answer your questions and offer sound, objective advice. So if you have concerns about your financial future, call Sage Ruddy and Company. Member SIPC and NASD, 232-3760, or on the web at sageruddy.com.
Talk Back is back. Tell us what you think about Wham's program lineup. Go online to wham1180.com.
Be it sight, sound, smell, or touch, there's something inside that we need so much. The sight of a touch, or the scent of a sound, or the strength of an oak roots deep in the ground. Flowers to be covered and then to burst up through tarmac to the sun again, or to fly to the sun without burning a wing, to lie in a meadow and hear the grass sing. To have all these things in our memories hold and use them to come.
Just for me.
Radio Networks. This is Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
Have you been to Art's website yet? You can link right up with Neil's website. Take a look at all the books he's written and also glance at his website. It's all linked up, ready to go. So all you got to do is click on Program Tonight's Guest, and there it is. Hey, the After Dark newsletter is always there for you, too, every month, just like clockwork. It's part of Coast to Coast. It is the official newsletter slash magazine. I really call it a magazine because it's in color. It's just a neat publication, great subscription. You can get a two-year, and it'll cost you significantly less. Or you can just get 1 year, or you can even split it with a friend of yours if you like and just hand over the newsletter after you've had a chance to read it. Here's a phone number if you'd like to order it. 1-888-727-5505. 1-888-727-5505. Now, that's for After Dark. Now, if you're interested in tapes of your very favorite Coast to Coast shows, or if you want to just build a library up there and keep it for posterity, here is a phone number for that, too, where you can order individual tapes. 1-800-917-4278. That's 1-800-917-4278. One of my very favorite companies, the C. Crane Company, because they deliver. They make a promise, they get it done. The C. Crane Company is dedicated to bringing you the very best radio reception possible. They invented the CC Radio Plus, the best AM radio that you can buy, but they haven't stopped there. C. Crane's chief engineer, Chris Justice, and Chris, by the way, sent me an email a couple of weeks ago just saying hello, so hi, Chris. He's developed a new antenna that's become the most important advancement in AM radio antenna design in more than 50 years. They call it the Justice AM antenna. I bet he reversed engineered something from Roswell. Think about that. Well, it is the most interesting AM radio antenna ever made. It will double your daytime reception and dramatically reduce the annoying nighttime fade-out. And that's a big thing. The Justice AM antenna is the most versatile AM radio ever made. It works in any AM radio, from portables to home stereos. And if your problem is static and distortion, the Justice AM antenna will eliminate the noise, so you'll enjoy listening to the radio with this wonderful AM antenna. So if you're having trouble hearing your favorite radio station, if you want to hear radio stations that are normally too far away, or if noise and static is taking the pleasure out of radio listening, the Justice AM antenna, priced at only $99.95, is the answer for you. Why don't you call the C. Crane Company? They will have the phones manned at 6:30 a.m. Pacific time. The number again for more information about the Justice AM antenna, 1-800-522-8863. 1-800-522-8863, or a free, absolutely free C. Crane catalog. Again, 1-800-522-8863, or go to the web at ccradio.com.
Would you like to feel 10 years younger in 10 weeks? Now there's proof that the effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH human growth hormone. For some time now, you've heard us talk about the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. And according to thousands of articles, higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. And that's why people take Ultimate HGH, a natural formula to boost your own body's production of HGH. And if your goal is to help improve energy and stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance memory, immune function, and vision, then Ultimate HGH is definitely for you. And when you order two bottles of Ultimate HGH, you'll get the third absolutely free. That's about a $33 a month savings, a tremendous savings off the typical $100 a month for comparable products. Plus, with your order, you'll receive a free book on HGH. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. So call now at 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627.
Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Neil Donald Walsh, my guest, Conversations with God. Okay, Neil, let's pick it up. You were woken up a little bit for the second writing. And then how many writings did it take before you felt that this was completed, at least for the first book?
Well, you see, I wasn't trying to write a book.
Right.
I mean,
right.
Even at that time when it said this will one day become a book, I did not think of it in those terms. I did not think, okay, now I'm writing a book. I just thought, what I'm writing will one day become a book.
Mm-hmm.
So because that's true, I did not think of it in those kinds of quantities or with that kind of quality. Therefore, I never had an experience of, oh, the book is ending, and now it's time to write a new one. My only experience was that I was receiving this information, and I was having this conversation ongoingly in my life, virtually every night for the first 3.5 weeks. And then following that, about 2 or 3 times a week, I would be awakened again by the same process, almost as if someone was tugging at my nightshirt in the middle of the night, just like, wake up, it's time to get back. And so I would go back to the yellow legal pad, almost always between 4:15 and 4:30 in the morning. By the way, the time was almost always in that 15-minute period, or pretty darn close to it.
When you went back to reread what you had written, you know, sometimes I've woken up in a dream state and I jot down an idea or something like that. I'll wake up in the morning and look at it and say, what is that? Because it's all mumbo jumbo. In your particular case, when you were able to reread the things that you had written the night before, did it make sense to you then?
It not only made sense, it made such perfect sense that actually when it did ultimately become a book, what you see in the book is exactly what I wrote with no editing, no changes, no alterations whatsoever from the original writing.
Wow. That's something. Just laid it right out there. Just had it all retyped.
That's it. I had it all typed up by a stenographer because I thought, I'm going to test. But it was many months after I received that information, this will one day become a book, that I had the courage, really, to even hand these these handwritten pages to a stenographer who I happened to run across in my daily work. And I said, you know what? You do stenography? He said, yeah. I said, do you do like transcript? Can you take someone's handwritten notes and turn them into? He said, oh, yeah, I do that all the time. Well, what kind of notes do you have? I said, well, it's a book. I expected her to laugh, of course, because everybody has a book.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, but she said, no, I'd love to. I'd be very happy to type it up for you. So I gave it to her. I said, look, I don't have much money. I look like I'm practically flat broke. What do you charge? And I said, this is very important to me. I just would like to see it at least just in typewritten form, if I could. And she said, well, I'll tell you, I'll squeeze it in between my other stuff. If you don't have a deadline, I said, no, I don't care when you get it. Take a year if you want. I don't care because it's not something that I have to have done right away. She said, if that's the basis on which I can work, on a catch-as-catch-can basis, whenever I can find time, I'll squeeze it in and I'll just charge you 15 or 20 bucks a week. I said, hey, I can handle that.
Yeah.
And so she did that. And it took her well over a year to type up, to keyboard in, what I had written. But it was all right because I didn't care when I saw it. I just wanted to get it done. And it was a massive project. At that time, I was handing over to her several hundred handwritten pages. Of stuff on yellow legal pad, get to paper. So,
would you pick it up in pieces, or did you wait for the whole thing to get completed?
Well, that's an interesting question. I didn't pick it up in pieces. No, I didn't from her, but I took it to her in pieces. In other words, the conversation was ongoing, and I didn't wait until the whole thing was over because, as I said, I really had no distinct experience of when it would be over or that it ever was over.
Right.
So I simply kept on mailing her pages after pages, but every 2 weeks I'd mail her another 40 or 50 pages and just send them off to her and say, with a little note saying, I don't know if and when this will ever end, but here it is. Finally, this lady called me. She did not know me. This is a total stranger I happened to meet in my line of work. But she called me once, finally, after about, and I should say this too. I said to her, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this until I tell you that I'm ready to see it.
Okay.
Don't send it back to me. This lady calls me. Now it's, I guess, about 2 or 3 months after she began the initial transcription. And she said, Neil, I got to tell you something. Where is this stuff coming from? I said, I don't know. I think I'm having a conversation with God, but God, don't tell anyone that. I don't know. And she just, she she was on the other end of the phone, there was this brief silence, and she said, "This is the most astonishing stuff I've ever heard in my life. I would type this stuff up for nothing. I would pay you to type this stuff up." I said, "You got a deal."
Give us an idea for some people who haven't opened up conversations with God yet. They should. But just give me an idea of like what one of those questions and answers might have been.
Who are you? Why don't you tell me who you are? What have I done in my life to deserve a life of such continuing struggle? What is the reason I can't keep a relationship together? What how can I find right livelihood at last? And what is the meaning of my life? What am I trying to do here anyway? What's the point of all of this? Please tell me it's not just some cosmic joke.
Did you see, Neil, a progression in your depression in the beginning when you just started to write, when you were down at the bottom of your life? And as you keep reading the pages that you had written, did you see a progression in your attitude or your philosophy?
Those are two different things. I saw a change in my attitude almost immediately. I mean, within an hour of the very first experience that I was having on the very first night, my attitude changed from one of chronic depression, deep depression, and anger and frustration with life, to one of peace and tranquility, and almost a sense of what I want to call a soft joy. It wasn't even an excited kind of a joy. It was a joyfulness. It was just a soft, knowing joy that everything was going to be fine, everything always had been fine, and everything would be fine in the future, that everything was perfect just the way it was rolling out, and that it was only my judgment about it that made it unbearable for me to experience. So my attitude changed on the first night. Now, what was the second point?
Philosophy. Philosophy.
My philosophy or my consciousness or my awareness, that began to expand slowly but surely over the next year, which is how long it was that I began, that I was receiving moments of contact, if you will, or these commentaries from God, conversations with God. Although let me go back and describe this.
Sure.
For the first 3.5 weeks or so, I was receiving these experiences every night, being awakened in the middle of the night. Automatically, I would just open my eyes. There it was again, 4:21, 4:23, 4:16, and I'd go back to my den and begin writing again. Then it was about every 2 or 3 days, and then it was like once a week, and then I ultimately lost contact. I want to say that I slept through about 15, 18, 20 nights without being awakened, and I thought, oh my God, what have I done? Oh, no, not just after I made this contact. Come on, come back to me, come on. And,
yeah,
of course, it wouldn't. And the more, it's kind of like trying to catch smoke in your hand. The more I wished for it, the more I wanted it to happen. Like people who try to learn how to meditate and then can't do it because they want to do it so badly and make that kind of that contact we all hear about during meditation. I couldn't do it. And I felt like I was pushing it away from me. So finally I just dropped it and I thought, well, whatever. Okay, I knew it was too good to be true.
Yeah.
It couldn't go on. And so much for that. And I threw my notes into the left-hand drawer of my desk and I forgot it and went on with my bumbling life. And then about 6 or 5.5 months later, a good long time when you're having this experience once or twice a week. And then now, about 6 months later or so, I'm awakened with that same old feeling at 4:22 in the morning. And I wake up, oh my God, it's there. And I race, literally just jump out of bed and race to my den and get out my yellow legal pad. And I start with a question. And I get an answer to a question. And only later on, and this was one of the most chilling moments of my life, about an hour and a half later, that was a kind of a relatively short session when it was just felt complete and over, I added the pages I had written to those I had put in my left-hand desk drawer 5.5 months earlier, and it was a seamless match.
Wow.
The conversation picked up exactly where it had left off. Unwittingly, I asked a question that was the first thought that came to my mind, and it was, today, to this day, as I look back at the material, because I never thought I would have any reason to need to know this, right. I cannot tell you where the seam was.
That smooth.
It was that smooth, and that was almost in a joyful way, kind of a joyful scare. I just thought, ooh, okay, I get it. There's more here going on than meets the eye.
Was there ever a point, Neil, that while the writings were going on, that you were a little puzzled over who you might be talking with or what you might be talking with?
Oh, yes. There were times when I was convinced that I may be trafficking with the devil because my childhood religion had warned me of just such a possibility in my life. I mean, that all people have to be on the lookout for that kind of thing. I was worried about, that I had gone mad, that I was the hell of the devil, that I had just gone crazy, that I was suffering delusions of grandeur. I worried about all of that. And for that reason, I told no one except this lady who was writing these, typing up these notes of mine. I told no one else what was going on with me. Although many people asked me, hey, what's happening with you? I mean, you seem different. You seem changed. You seem more peaceful, more at peace with your life. And the result of that attitude shift that we talked about earlier is that, in fact, life began showing up for me in ways that would allow me to be even more peaceful. So the effect was circular. I began getting a break here and there. Life started to be giving me, I was asking, hey, come on, give me a break. And suddenly I was getting breaks. And I began to see that, by golly, my attitude about life produces the outcomes in my life. Isn't that interesting?
And did you then find yourself converting negativity into something positive at the same time?
Yes. Well, I just eliminated all negative thoughts, in fact. I didn't convert negativity so much into something that made sense. I just simply didn't have any negativity because after about 6 or 7 months cumulatively of this experience, after I regained contact, I realized that I was onto something. And I was told directly in the dialogue that what you're thinking and what you believe and how you use your mind creates your exterior reality. And I began to see that that was true. I began to have actual experiences of it and evidence of it in my day-to-day life. And so from that point on, I had very, very few negative thoughts. And when I did have a negative thought, which was, I guess, only natural and only human to have, I would dismiss it immediately. I just literally threw it out of my mind and said sometimes out loud, I don't choose that. I don't choose that. I can recall doing that, in fact, once, driving down the road. I was just thinking, like we all do sometimes when we drive along, and I had some kind of a negative thought about about life, and I just said out loud, I don't choose that. And I dismissed it out of my mind. It was almost reminded me of the biblical verse, Satan, get thee behind me.
Yes, yes. When you were thinking about the possibilities that you might be dealing with the devil, did you think that the advice that this entity was giving you may have been something to trick you?
Yes. I thought, if the devil were going to trick me and try to convince me the things that were being said, how would he do that? Wouldn't he do it in just this way, with just these words? Wouldn't these be the most tempting words ever to be spoken? Isn't this, in fact, what the church taught you the devil would say? And I have to admit that in some cases it sounded very much like that. And so that gave me pause to wonder whether or not I had allowed myself to be open to what I would have called in those days satanic forces or evil influences or whatever else one might want to label it.
What convinced you that you were not dealing with that?
The nature of the material itself and the way I was feeling about it, the internal feeling that I had, and the clarity and the extraordinary insight and the applicability in my everyday life of the material that I was receiving. Although I must say, and this kind of shocked some people when I say this, I had lingering doubts. I continued to have lingering doubts throughout the entire 7-year process. And there was never a time to this very day, to this very moment that I'm talking with you now, that I don't have some lingering doubt about what I imagine myself or experience myself to be moving through as my reality. And you know what? I've come to really accept that doubt as a gift. I've been saying to people lately, you know what? The day that I have no doubt whatsoever is the day that I become dangerous.
Yeah, that could be.
And I have no intention of becoming dangerous. So I've learned to live within the question. I was told that the greatest wisdom is not mine when I have fully the answer, but when I continue to live within the question.
Do we all have within us this ability to tap into this conversation with God like you did?
Not only do we all have the ability to do so, in fact, I'm told in the conversation itself that we all are doing so every day of our lives, and especially at peak moments of our lives when we have a need to tap into that place of universal wisdom, that there isn't a human being on the earth who hasn't done so, that everyone has done so, and we have called it and are calling it something else. We're not calling it a conversation with God because we have been culturalized away from such a description. Our very religions, in fact, have been chiefly the means by which we have been scared away from calling it that. They have told us that if we were to dare suggest that God is talking directly to us, we would be committing the greatest blasphemy, because God just does not talk to unworthy beings such as us, although we can talk to God every day.
Stay with us, Neil. My guest is Neil Donald Walsh. We'll be back. There's much more to talk with him about. And, you know, of course, this world is facing some very serious, serious crisis times ahead. Let's get his view on some of those as well. And, again, get to the website and look at these books we're talking about tonight. I'm George Norrie. This is Coast to Coast AM.
Hoping to find some old forgotten words or ancient melodies. He turned to me as if to say,
Living Leadership, the largest leadership event of 2002, is coming to Rochester via satellite on Wednesday, November 13th. This all-day event will bring you the success stories and leadership truths of Rudy Giuliani, Michael Abershaw, John C. Maxwell, Steve London, Jack Welch, John P. Cotter, and Ken Blanchard. To register, log on to www.livingleadership.com and select the Rochester, New York satellite location. Venue information and directions are on the website. Special group rates are available. Registration fee includes a participant workbook, light lunch and snack, special edition leadership book, and a one-year subscription to Fortune magazine. Get ready to learn where the new future of leadership lies by visiting Living Leadership on the web today or call 877-814-8426. Join us at the Living Leadership Simulcast 2002, sponsored by the Destiny Leadership Group.
Robert's has a really great way of making you feel comfortable. You're a part of something that's, you know, personal, not just a number.
Helen Smith, a junior in pre-med at Roberts Wesleyan College.
Roberts is a place that wants you to get involved. A lot of our outside activities get us out there into the community and get us working with people that are underprivileged. And that, you know, that's not a degree. That's an experience. It's unbelievable all the things that you can do if you look for it. It's nonstop, you know. You get done with a semester and you are so exhausted because you've been on the go, wake up class, activities, homework, go to bed, you know. It's definitely a fun experience, but with a meaning to it. And I know that when I graduate, when I step out, I will make a difference someday.
Discover the difference at Roberts Wesleyan College. Call 594-6400 or go online to roberts.edu.
Definitely come to Roberts because it's a very cool place to be.
Online, WHAM1180.com. On the air, it's News Radio 1180, WHAM Rochester.
A Clear Channel radio station.
CBS News. I'm Jim Chenevy. Congress heads back up the Hill today for a lame duck session, and the Senate will be controlled by Democrats, at least for the time being. Minnesota's new senator, Dean Barkley, has decided to remain an independent, giving the Democrats the edge until Republican Jim Talent is certified as the winner of the Missouri seat now occupied by Gene Carnahan. More from CBS News correspondent Bob Fuss.
The plate is full for this lame duck session, but that's no guarantee anything will get done. There's still no budget for any government department except the Pentagon, but a punt is likely, with a temporary funding measure going into next year. The Senate will try to finish Homeland Security, but the same impasse that held it up before the election still exists. The important terrorism insurance bill could reach final passage, but there's no guarantee of that either.
Iraq's parliament is meeting right now and could vote today on that UN resolution, whether to accept or reject it. In the meantime, the clock is ticking toward that one-week deadline. Correspondent Wyatt Andrews.
Technically, if you look at the calendar, Iraq has a lot of time. Their deadline for accepting the UN resolution is this Friday, but they have until December 23rd to fully readmit the UN inspectors. However, in reality, the deadlines for Iraq could be much closer. This coming Monday, a team of UN inspectors on the atomic weapons side goes to Baghdad for initial discussions, and National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice says the United States will begin to judge Iraq's intentions then, not waiting until December 23rd.
Israeli troops and tanks invaded a Palestinian refugee camp in Tokaram in the northern West Bank today. Three Arabs were arrested. This latest incursion follows a shooting spree at an Israeli communal farm over the weekend that left five Israelis dead. With 36 dead in five states, the weekend string of tornadoes has prompted a massive relief effort. Red Cross spokeswoman Sharina Summerall.
It's kind of early to tell exactly how many homes in each area have been affected, but we know that Ohio and Tennessee especially have been hit the hardest. With the most residential damage.
Reporter Jim Krasula is in hard-hit Tennessee.
The storms pulverized several Morgan County, Tennessee communities, leaving homes and businesses destroyed, splitting huge trees and pounding highway signs into the ground. Spencer Bain couldn't believe the damage when he got home from a business trip to Memphis.
I wasn't expecting this. I really wasn't. I'm just thank God that we're all alive and still going.
Sunday night storms were the most intense to hit the volunteer state in more than 50 years. Jim Krasula, CBS News, Mossy Grove, Tennessee.
A rare earthquake rocked South Carolina last evening. Don Blakeman of the National Earthquake Center.
We've had a light earthquake, a preliminary magnitude of 4.2. It's about 30 miles south-southwest of Charleston. Does appear to be slightly offshore.
No damage or injuries reported. The quake was felt all along the South Carolina coastline. This is CBS News.
Hi, I'm Lynette Jennings. Did you know that one of the most improved technologies in your home today has to do with how you sleep? It's the weightless sleep bed developed by Tempur-Pedic.
Yes, Lynette. Tempur-Pedic's new weightless sleep technology makes other beds obsolete. It's recognized by NASA, certified by the Space Foundation, recommended worldwide by over 25,000 sleep clinics and health professionals. Starting where NASA's anti-G-force research ended, Tempur-Pedic invented Tempur pressure relieving material, an otherworldly sleep surface that uses weight, shape, and body temperature to mold to your every curve. You've seen it on TV, read about it in the press, wondered what it was. Call us now and find out.
Now get a free sample, free video, and free trial certificate by calling 888-745-0536. That's 888-745-0536. Toll free, 888-745-0536.
The Supreme Court will today hear arguments in a trademark case involving lingerie giant Victoria's Secret and the owner of a Kentucky adult novelty store called Victor's Little Secret. CBS News legal expert Andrew Cohen.
This is a case that has ramifications well beyond the facts surrounding the small store owners, the Mosleys, and the big chain, Victoria's Secret. If the Supreme Court rules in favor of the big guys in the case, it will be that much harder for little stores to operate with names even remotely similar to those that have been trademarked.
Victor Mosley has changed the name of the store to Kathy's Little Secret, named after his wife, pending the outcome of the case. A new study from the Insurance Research Council says the number of crashes per insured car on the road dropped 16% between 1980 and 2000. But at the same time, the number of insurance claims filed by people involved in accidents rose by 26%. The council's senior VP says 20 years ago, people took two aspirin. Today, they call a doctor and file a claim. Jim Shenavy, CBS News.
More news, more often. Check in 3, 4, 5 times a day to the news leader. News Radio 1180, WHAM.
K
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight. Just partly cloudy skies. It's going to be cool. Maybe a little bit of fog in some of the valleys later tonight. Temperature down to about 40 degrees, 30 south of Rochester. Tuesday becoming mainly gray. Couple of rain showers late in the afternoon, especially east of Rochester. The high temperature in the upper 40s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, mid-40s. Few more rain showers arrive again on Thursday. This is WHAM News Source 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
Rush Limbaugh, as real as it gets.
Man, is that ever right? Welcome to real life. We don't phony it up here, ladies and gentlemen. We don't pretend things are the way we want them to be. We don't live in a little socialist utopian idea. No idealism here, no sir. Just a hard, cold reality each and every day. You don't get this kind of cutting-edge analysis anywhere else, so take advantage of this golden opportunity that you've got here.
Rush Limbaugh, weekdays 2 till 5 on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Said last hour that we are in a crisis right now on this planet. In a moment, let's get Neil Donald Walsh's take on all that. Don't go away. Are you or a loved one making just too many trips to the bathroom? Listen closely, because you're not alone. More than 30 million men suffer from an enlarged prostate. And that's why if you make these frequent trips to the bathroom, have urgency, hesitancy, or even a diminished sex drive, Super Prostate Formula is for you. It was designed by nationally recognized physician Dr. Michael Teplisky. The results with his patients have been amazing. And take it from me, reclaim control now and join the legions of listeners who have had incredible results because it really works. And when you order two bottles of Dr. Teplisky's Super Prostate Formula, you'll get two bottles of his super antioxidant formula to reduce inflammation and further support the health of your prostate. Plus, his groundbreaking book, The Complete Guide to Prostate Health. Now, you'll also get a newsletter. So a total $100 value free as your gift. Guaranteed to work or your money back. And if you're not completely satisfied, whatever reason, return it for a full refund. And keep the book and the newsletter free as a gift. Not available in store. So call now, 1-800-603-7277. 1-800-603-7277. That's 1-800-603-7277.
When was the last time you woke up feeling great, let alone normal?
I mean, I feel great. I really, truly feel like something has come over me. I mean, really refreshed and well-rested, almost like you just came out of a vacation.
Order Longevia now. There's a full money-back guarantee, so you've nothing to lose but anxiety and stress. Call 1-800-818-9288. That's 1-800-818-9288. Or log on to youngenergy.com.
At First Horizon Home Loans, we know buying a home can be stressful. But there's at least one thing that isn't. Getting your loan from us. We draw on the strength of a nationwide network of loan officers who will guide you every step of the way so you can move on to the things you'd rather be doing, like enjoying your new home. Call 800-600-4400 today. That's 800-600-4400. First Horizon Home Loans. Get home with less stress.
Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Neil Donowell is my guest. Neil, there's no doubt this planet, I think, is going to continue to face some pretty serious times, not only with what's happening worldwide right now with a potential of war, but I think also some problems with the environment and the climate, maybe even possible pole shifts. How does this... how does any of this correlate to some of the things that you've done with your work, with your conversations with God? I mean, is there some hope here, or are we all doomed?
Well, I think there's enormous hope, and I've been told that there's enormous reason for hope. But we must begin to approach the crisis at the level at which the crisis exists. First, we have to acknowledge that the crisis is, in the main, man-made. Yes, there are some things going on, like, as you mentioned, the possible shifting of the poles and so forth, that one could argue are not man-made, although it is even arguable on the other side of that coin that even such massive geophysical shifts are ultimately and have been man-made. But stepping aside from that question for a minute, it's not seriously arguable that most of the crises that we are facing on the planet right now are man-made crises, not the least of which is the one we are about to move headlong into, if we're not careful, with regard to Iraq. And that's the least of the things that are going on right now. And so it is, I think, our first responsibility, if we are to grasp the hope that is extended to humankind, to accept the fact that we are at cause in the matter, and that we have been at cause for quite some time. When we accept our responsibility in the matter of how things are and how things seem to be going, in that moment we accept the reins of power as well. Before we accept responsibility for how terrible things are, and unless we do, we become powerless to do anything over it because we are admitting that we have nothing to do with this. We're just the victims of the situation. So, surrendering to the truth, that is, that we have created all of this, either intentionally or otherwise, but we are at cause in the matter, puts us in a place of being able to do something about it. So that's the first step that we have to take, and that's true in our individual lives, as well as in the collective reality that we are experiencing on the planet. And that's how I turned my life around, by being able, with instructions that I received in my conversations with God, by being able to allow myself to accept full responsibility for everything that ever happened to me in my life, even those things which apparently on the surface of it I had no control over and did not wish or desire or call upon myself in any conscious way. That's a huge step for a person to take, at least I should speak for myself. It was for me. It was an enormous step because I couldn't see how it was possible that I would deliberately call upon myself many of the things that happened. But that's what I meant earlier when I said that the difficulty with the crises that humanity is facing right now is that we are attempting to resolve them at every level except the level at which these crises exist. That is, we're trying to solve them with psychological means, with political means, with economic means, just throw enough money at it, or in fact with military means. And it's not a psychological, political, military, or economic problem. It is, in my words, the use of vernacular that I've become familiar and comfortable with, a spiritual problem having to do, if there's a word of greater comfort, a problem of beliefs having to do with our belief systems, the kinds of things that we believe about life and about that larger-than-life experience that some of us call God or divinity or the all-in-all or whatever name we want to give to the huge system of things that seems to be playing a part, if not the total part, in creating our day-to-day reality.
Do you think our leaders on this planet, Neil, seem to lack this understanding, this spirituality to really, I think, allow this planet to move forward in a direction that you've just brought up?
All but one. I'm going to say something probably way controversial now, and people are going to turn off their radios and say, well, that's it. Now I know this guy is certifiably insane. But from my observation and from my personal knowledge now, the one leader we've had in this part of this early part of this century and in the last years of the previous century who did have the beginning of insight into this and a larger understanding than one might imagine was in fact Bill Clinton. He got roasted for it. He began listening to some people who had some insights about these kinds of things, not the least of which is Michael Lerner and others, who he began talking to privately on the side, and the media got a hold of that. The media found out about Hillary Clinton's discussions with Jean Houston, which almost ruined Jean Houston's life and her career, one of the most extraordinary women, if not the most brilliant mind on this planet, surely one of the top minds on the planet. And when the media got a hold of all of that, both the Clintons were discouraged from ever pursuing those kinds of avenues of thoughtful exploration again, at least while they were in office. But with the exception of Bill Clinton, I think that our national and international leaders and the so-called COIs, the centers of influence on our planet in the media and elsewhere, are by and large, with some few exceptions, oblivious to the kind of thing that I'm talking about here, and would laugh at me and dismiss me and marginalize what I have to say here if they were given an opportunity to do so. And the media does that, by the way, regularly with me all the time. But there's something interesting about that. While virtually all of the major media, which has now dealt with me since the first book was published, because the book, of course, became a publishing phenomenon. I mean, it sold.
It was instant.
Instantly is right, within the first 6-9 weeks, and ultimately sold and continues to sell. But the book one is continuing to sell to this day at record numbers, even as we speak. It is now sold in the multi-millions of copies. It has been read conservatively by probably 25 million people. It hasn't sold 25 million copies, but they tell me in New York that they now discover that for every copy that's sold, at least 3 people have gotten their hands on it, because it's a massive hand-to-hand book. And so if we've sold 5 to 7 million copies worldwide, you can look at 25 million people have read the material or become familiar with it at least to some degree. And I know that that's, in fact, functionally what's true. And so what's fascinating is that while the major media have done everything they can to marginalize me and to portray me as some kind of a guy who's really gone over the edge, 25 million people disagree and have been sending me letters. We get 600 letters and emails sometimes a week. We've gotten as many as that in 1 week, and more than once. And we've now received over 50,000 individual communications on these books. And those people have said to me, you know what, this is not unusual. What you're experiencing, I experienced. And so it turns out that, once again, the grassroots understanding of people on Main Street differs from the understandings of life of those people who we have placed in charge of our future. Ironically enough, our political and religious leaders have no conception, by and large, of the power of what I'm sharing with you tonight.
Well, with the media, the fact that they challenge you or attack you, what do they doubt about you?
Well, everything. that I even had a conversation with God, that it's possible for anyone to have a conversation with God, to say nothing of the question of whether there's even a God to have a conversation with. Does God even exist? Or those few who might be begrudgingly willing to suggest that maybe I did have some kind of moment of inspiration, they doubt that I brought it through cleanly, that I was able to separate myself from my own personal agenda, that I'm not doing this simply to make money because I was down and out at one point in my life and lived on the streets. I was actually a street person living outside in the weather without a roof over my head, and not for a week or two, but for an extended period of my life. And so the standard rap of the cynical media is, hey, he found a way to make a buck.
Mm-hmm. Well, on the appearance of national media, they would look at that, but you never got into it with that intention. As a matter of fact, with what I know of you, you had no idea you were going to sell these kinds of books when you finally got to the point where you were going to get it published.
It was the furthest thing from my mind. I can't even. First of all, I was astonished that anybody would publish it to begin with. And after a small publisher on the East Coast agreed to publish it, it never occurred to me that more than a few thousand copies. I thought, you know, I'm going to sell 3,000 or 4,000 copies of this thing, and wouldn't that be satisfying? Wouldn't that be nice to know that, you know, 3,000 or 4,000 people have shared the experience that I was given to share in this way? And so I was going to be immensely satisfied with that. It never, of course, it never occurred to me that many people would buy the book in the first 3 weeks, and that ultimately in the first year, over 50,000 copies would be sold in the first 12 months, which made it an instant bestseller, and it wound up being on the bestseller list for over 2.5 years. And every other book in the With God series has made the New York Times bestseller list as well. So, no one can dream of such a thing. No one can plan such a thing. No one could even, I don't think, reasonably hope for such a thing. I mean, there are very few people who have had 7 New York Times bestsellers in a period of 7 years. That's almost unheard of in the publishing business. And by the way, I don't say that arrogantly or boastfully, because the credit does not belong to me. And frankly, it doesn't even belong to my co-author. It belongs to people, ordinary people, not unlike, I might add, the people who are listening to this radio program right now.
Sure.
That is, people who are brave enough to ask the unaskable questions, to consider the unconsiderable thoughts, to explore the unexplorable, to move, dare I say it, where no person has ever gone before.
Sounds like Star Trek, doesn't it?
That's exactly right. And so these are the brave ones. These are the courageous ones among us who are willing to explore what people are telling us it's taboo to explore, and who are willing to consider possibilities that no one else is willing to consider.
Well,
now, getting back to your question about the crisis real quickly,
right.
If we don't start considering these possibilities right now, we are headed for a major crisis on this planet.
Why do you say that Bill Clinton was one of these leaders that had the ability to pull us out of this mess when his own personal life was so screwed up?
Yeah, well, the degree to which one's personal life is screwed up as it relates to how one's vision how far one's vision extends, I've learned there's no relationship necessarily between the two. Some of the greatest visionaries of the human experience were people whose personal lives were beyond repair, and that's true of everyone from Disraeli on down. I mean, I'm not impressed by the fact that Bill Clinton made some judgmental errors in terms of his personal life or the expression of his sexuality, which is another whole discussion, by the way. He was just the victim of a whole huge, a species-wide dysfunction with regard to the expression of our sexual energy, which Conversation with God spends considerable time about, by the way. But his sexual experiences, notwithstanding, and the appropriateness or lack of appropriateness thereof, notwithstanding, there are few people who would seriously argue that Bill Clinton was not an intellect of the first rank. He has had and has an extraordinary mind. He was a Rhodes Scholar. He is extremely well-read, and he is a very, very deep thinker. He's not a surface thinker at all, and he has a memory like a steel trap. I mean, if he has read something or heard something or something's captured his imagination in the moment, he keeps that in his memory bank. I know this personally as a result of having spoken with him, and he's just a first class thinker. He's a very extraordinary human being in that regard. Now, I happen to also know some people who have had some contact with him. People like Michael Lerner, people like Gene Houston, both of whom I happen to know very well, not casually, and others as well who have described him. Marianne Williamson is another who's known Bill Clinton for quite some time. And every person who knows Bill Clinton personally, with whom I've had contact, has come back independent of each other at different times and places and reported essentially the same thing to me. This is a brilliant guy. And it's just the shame of it is that he was not able to control his own personal life, because had he been able to do so, he might have gone down as one of the most astonishingly effective leaders in history. But he sabotaged himself, and that's very sad.
Well, yeah, indeed it is. Indeed it is. What do you say to critics who say, how can a God allow some of the horrors that occur on this planet, why doesn't he intervene? Why doesn't he fix some of these things that are just so bad?
Well, the first thing I'd say is that your question as posed, I would say to that person, I'd say, sir, the question as you posed it suggests that we are somehow different from God, that we are separate from God, and that God is doing this to us or failing to stop us from doing this.
Or punishing us.
Or punishing us. Or standing by blithely watching us walk into walls, and if he's an all-loving, merciful God, why doesn't he stop that? But only if we indulge in separatist philosophy, in the thought that we and God are not one, but that God's over there and we're over here, could such a conceptualization even occur to our minds, much less cause us to ask the question. And so I say to that person, you know, I have to consider your question within the context of my own understanding of God. God and we are not separate. We are all God godding. We are all that which is God. And the reason that we are allowing ourselves to do the things that we're doing is that we are co-creating our experience collectively as we move through the process that anthropologists call evolution. That is to say, as we become what we are next going to be. And furthermore, there is no value judgment made in the universe by this essence or energy that I call God, of which we are all a part, or that I call life, of which we are all a part. There is no value judgment made by life or by this essence with regard to one experience as opposed to the other. And so that one could say loosely, God has, this is tough to hear. This is a good thing we have some time to discuss this, because one doesn't say this in a 30-second sound bite.
Right.
Good morning, America. But God has no preference in the matter of how things turn out, larger than the preference that we have, because we are, in fact, that which is God, experiencing that which we are experiencing, that we might know ultimately who we really are and recreate ourselves anew at the next grandest level of that. And so life is a process by which we become a larger version of what we were before, or again, as I say, what people call evolution. We are, in short, moving through a process of evolution, every step of which along the way is necessary for us to ultimately become that which we choose to create ourselves as. And that means that in shorthand, the what we call our so-called mistakes and our errors and the bumbling and walking into walls is really all part of a blessed process by which we ultimately emerge as the next grandest version of ourselves. I therefore have come to take an extremely philosophical point of view about the so-called mistakes that I have made in my life. And by the way, that's how I feel about Bill Clinton. I believe that there's every possibility that he may yet make a contribution that will overshadow every judgment that human beings have about him before his life is over.
Well, we'll find out about that. Stay with us. My guest is Neil Donald Walsh. Conversations with God, a number of books in... The one thing I want to ask him when we come back from the break, because how many times have you looked up into the heavens and tried to wonder just how did this all happen? What's the answer behind some of this? Let's see if he ever asked the question, just what is it? What does it mean? And what those answers could be. I'm George Norrie. Lots more to come on Coast to Coast AM.
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight. Just partly cloudy skies. It's going to be cool. Maybe a little bit of fog in some of the valleys later tonight. Temperature down to about 40 degrees, 30 south of Rochester. Tuesday becoming mainly gray. Couple of rain showers late in the afternoon, especially east of Rochester. The high temperature in the upper 40s. Wednesday mostly cloudy, mid-40s. Few more rain showers arrive again on Thursday. This is WHAM News Source 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
The NFL season is back.
Has time. Guns the middle of the end zone. Caught by Terrell on the post. Touchdown.
And if you think you've got game, test your skills online. Log on to WHAM1180.com every week this football season. Make your picks and win great prizes.
Look at him go head five. Touchdown. Fred Taylor sticks the knife in Kansas City.
The WHAM Online Pigskin Pick'em. Brought to you by Quality Home Funding Corporation. Log on and play today at WHAM1180.com.
In March of 1999, on a cold and rainy night in London, a sunny storybook musical opened and so rocked England that not one seat has gone unsold since then. The phenomenon continued as this smash hit delighted audiences in Toronto, Los Angeles, Chicago, and San Francisco. Now your town gets the chance to say thank you for the musical that is Mamma Mia. It's ABBA's greatest hits woven into three wonderful love stories. A young girl on the eve of her wedding, her mother about to confront the past, and the best love story of all, the show on stage with the audience out front. Benny Anderson and Bjorn Alvaez' Mamma Mia. When you're dancing in the aisles, you'll know why critics from around the world are calling it absolutely fabulous. Let Mamma Mia lay all its love on you.
The M&T Bank Broadway season welcomes Mamma Mia to Rochester November 26th through December 8th at the Auditorium Center. Tickets are on sale now at Ticket Express and Ticketmaster or call 232-1900.
Computer time doesn't mean online or chain store time. Computer time means Soyata time. If you haven't bought a computer in the last few years, you'll be floored at how little it costs to blow the doors off the one you're using now. In fact, just in time for the holidays, you can buy a brand new Soyata computer featuring a super fast Intel 4 1.8 gig processor for just $749. Perfect for home or home office use. Hey, if your new computer runs into a snag, what do you want to do? Pack it up and send it back to the online manufacturer or take it back to the chain store and wait for up to 6 weeks? No way, because Soyata computers are designed and built right here in your hometown. If you ever do have a problem, you can bring it back and look right into the eyes of the guy who built it. In most cases, Soyata will get your computer back to you in 1 week or less. Support the local economy, buy local, and get a better computer. With prices this low, it's not waiting time. It's Soyata time. Soyata Computers, West Henrietta Road, and online at Soyata.com.
Coast to Coast AM, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
With the holidays and the harsher weather upon us, do you ever have the desire to help people in need, but you're just not sure how? Then here's a great opportunity for you to help others as well as yourself. Join me, Beth Adams, and the Salvation Army this Saturday at Parenton Square Mall as we rally for ringers. Sign up to be a bell ringer, and you'll automatically be registered to win a beautiful ring from Fine Line Jewelers at Parenton Square Mall to keep for yourself or to give to a loved one as a special holiday gift. You'll also receive tickets to a free showing of the new movie, The Santa Claus 2. So please, don't just think about it this year. Do it. Bring your donations of dry goods, clothing, or household items to Parenton Square Mall this Saturday, November 16th from 9 to 2. And while you're there, sign up to be a ringer. We'll have delicious treats from Leo's Bakery and hot pizza from Mark's Pizzeria and movie tickets for The Santa Claus 2 and lots of other special prizes in return for your kindness. This is the time of year you may hear a lot about the Salvation Army. Why? Because this is the time of year Rochesterians need them most.
Morals, values, ethics, and principles. It's Dr. Laura, 9 till 11 on News Radio 1180, WHAM.
Networks presents Coast to Coast AM. Now, here's George Norrie.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. When Neil Donald Walsh said people wouldn't like what he had to say about a political leader, whoa, fast blasted big time about Bill Clinton. Let me give you a couple toll-free phone numbers here. First of all, if you're in the mood to buy some Art Bell T-shirts and Coast to Coast memorabilia, you might as well do it. Could be a collector's item. You never know. This is a limited time offer. Let me give you a toll-free phone number where you can place an order for T-shirts, sweatshirts, mugs, hats, computer mouse pads. If you love Coast to Coast, you're going to love these items. 1-888-855-5574. 1-888-855-5574. Or go online, look at the photos, more ordering information there at artbell.com. And on the left there, look under the gift center, the store, and just click away and have some fun ordering some great merchandise there. Let me tell you a little bit about After Dark as well. Speaking of great merchandise, it's a newsletter. It's got its own staff. Every month they write stories, articles. The November issue is out right now. This one is centering around the top 10 urban legends. Here's the toll-free phone number to order, 1-888-727-5505. It's for After Dark, 1-888-727-5505. I'll tell you a little bit about Lear Financial. Like Art, I too now have become a satisfied client of Lear Financials. And I want to tell you a little bit about that. And also tell you about an offer that is available to you, a free audio seminar tape and a booklet. The $29 value, absolutely free. This is a limited offer. Last month, an analyst with Merrill Lynch was talking on CNBC and said that he thought that gold is the buy of a generation. He went on to say, to be conservative, I'm looking for gold at $450 to $550 an ounce. But my thought is that gold could go back up to its old highs of $850 an ounce. And at the lower end of the projection, people can pick up 42% as high as 260% maybe. Wow. And even a recent cover article on USA Today stated that gold could hit $1,000 an ounce. Shaken investor trust, world tensions could push gold to even higher levels, they say. Lear Financial, that's what you want to do. That's who you want to call. Here's a toll-free phone number, 1-800-474-4259. See how you can protect and grow your own savings and retirement accounts. And if you call 1-800-474-4259 now, mention Coast to Coast, you'll get Lear's audio seminar titled Why the Experts Have Picked Gold. A $29 value. The guide, the tape are free for Coast to Coast listeners. The offer is limited. 1-800-474-4259. One more time for you. 1-800-474-4259.
Do you want to melt away excess body fat and trim those unwanted inches without strict dieting or strenuous exercise? Now it's possible with Ultimate Slim, the all-natural, scientifically designed formula to metabolize your fat into energy. Ultimate Slim helps block carbohydrates and fat absorption, reduce sugar cravings, and lose water weight. Within minutes, you'll feel more energetic without any nervous side effects. Within days, you'll start losing inches, your clothes will be looser, and within weeks, your waist will be thinner, and you'll be ready for the holidays. I recommend Ultimate Slim because it's perfect if you want a lean, sexy body but don't have time for a lot of calorie counting or long, sweaty workouts. Just ask Will, my board operator. He lost 60 pounds with Ultimate Slim. So what are you waiting for? Burn fat the quick and easy way with Ultimate Slim. Order two bottles of Ultimate Slim, and you get two more absolutely free. That's 50% off. Plus, you'll also receive the Healthy Eating Guide and Cookbook. That's a $20 value, absolutely free. So call now at 1-800-557-4627. Not available in stores. Ultimate Slim is guaranteed to work or your money back. 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627.
Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie with my guest, Neil Donald Walsh. Neil, let's talk a little bit about, of course, the big answer that so many people always seem to be asking themselves, and a lot of us just can't seem to find the answer. But when you do look up into the stars and the universe and the heavens, and we always say, how did this happen? Why? Did you ever have an opportunity to try to find that answer?
Do you mean how did life happen on Earth?
Well, just everything in general.
Well, that's a huge...
That's a big question.
Huge question. I asked that question with regard to my life and the life that human beings are living on the planet right now. And the answer that I received, and it became even more clear to me, in the New Revelations, A Conversation with God, which is the book that's just come out 3.5 weeks ago. I asked that question in a profoundly urgent way after the events of September 11th a year ago, when I sat down with the God of my understanding and said, I don't understand. What is it that we are not getting here? Why are we creating this worldwide experience that we are creating of constant violence and killing and war? That's a part of the overall experience of humanity's adventure on this planet that I did ask about. And I asked about it very specifically in the New Revelations, this latest book, and because I was deeply disturbed by it, as were many people on the planet. So, yes, I did ask that question. What is going on? And I got a startling answer. If we thought that Mike Clinton comments brought a reaction, the answer that
they did. They did.
Well, I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did, because people love to hate Bill Clinton, and I understand that. So, but I can't imagine that anyone could seriously argue that the man had a brilliant mind. That's been even by his staunchest enemies, that's been conceded that he has a brilliant person. He just misused his brilliance. So I'm willing to let it go at that. But
as they say, let sleeping dogs lie.
Yes. But with regard to this question, I asked, what is it that's causing our problems? And the answer that I got was, in a sentence, punitive, exclusivist, organized religion. Punitive, exclusivist, organized religion.
Now, what does that mean?
It means that punitive, exclusivist, organized religion, as opposed to just any organized religion, but a religion that believes in a God who is exclusivist and punitive, a God who says there's only one way to come back to me, and so I'm exclusivist, and if you don't do it by that way, I will send you to hell, which means he's punitive. So an organization or a religion that insists on teaching of an angry, jealous, punishing God. Those religions have, for thousands of years in some cases, and many hundreds of years in most cases, been teaching humanity that violence, as a way of resolving our problems, is acceptable and okay. They've done it by teaching us of a God who resolves his problems by violence. They do it by telling us that if God doesn't like what humanity is doing, God punishes us and uses rather violent methods with which to do so. That, in fact, to use one of the many holy scriptures on the planet, not to pick this one out in particular, but in the Bible, if you do it by actual count, if you just take an adding machine and read the Bible one year, and at the end of the year, add up all the numbers of the people recorded in the Bible that were smote by God's hand. That is, that God is proclaimed to have killed directly or ordered his minions on earth to kill. And the number exceeds 1 million by actual count, but just reading the Bible. And the Quran is no better. The Bhagavad Gita isn't a heck of a lot better. And the Book of Mormon is kind of scary, too, when you look at it. So the fact of the matter is that almost every one of the holy scriptures of our most sacred religious traditions teaches us of a God who uses violence routinely as a means of resolving his anger and punishing those who displease him. He also, and it's quoted in chapter and verse of all those sacred texts that I've just described, he also encourages and in some cases commands and demands that human beings do exactly the same thing with each other. He says things like, take the heads of all the people and hang them up before the Lord. That's in Numbers chapter 25. And one could quote chapter and verse of the Quran and of the Bhagavad Gita, as I mentioned a minute ago, as well, and come up with very scary language. Now, the argument is made by apologists for all of these things that no one believes it anymore. Those are ancient, outdated scriptural passages. Neil, it's not fair for you to even bring that up because no one seriously considers it anymore. Unless, of course, you're flying airplanes into buildings in New York City, in which case you start believing it very clearly and saying things like, Allah is great, while you're destroying 3,000 lives. Or unless you're engaged in 200 years of Christian crusades. Or, to be more contemporary, shooting abortion doctors in parking lots of abortion clinics in Florida, which happened just a few years ago, or acting in some other insane way that these beliefs allow us to act in. And so we have reached a crisis level, a crisis situation in the world today because of the things that we believe about ourselves and about the use of violence as an acceptable process of conflict resolution. And we cannot let go of this thought until we let go of the idea which undergirds it, which is, of course, the idea that God not only approves of it, but commands it and demands that we do so, and that says if we will not go to war and fight each other over these mistaken beliefs, that God will punish us. And there is a chapter and verse in all the Holy Scriptures that indicates that as well.
Well, don't you think human beings are violent anyway? It doesn't matter what happens, what they believe. I mean, they are killing machines, Neil. That's all they do. They kill. They fight. They kill since the beginning of time.
Yeah, but the question is why? And the answer is because they believe that this is the way to survive. Because they believe, among other things, that they are their bodies. And that the only way the body can survive when push comes to shove is by using violence, if it's my life against yours. Because they haven't gotten the Obi-Wan Kenobi message, which contained enormous wisdom and had and was much more than a simple movie with a little interesting twist at the end. But in fact, that spoke in popular terms, in a popular movie, the greatest wisdom that is contained in the deepest wisdom literature of the ages. And that is that we are not our bodies. Our bodies are simply something that we have, but it is not who we are. When one makes a shift of that major proportion in one's thinking about oneself, suddenly one's behavior changes as well, and like Obi-Wan Kenobi in the face of Darth Vader with the lightsaber, puts down the sword and says, you know what, I get real clearly that you think you can end my existence right now, but I am equally clear that that is utterly impossible. It's not possible for you to do so. And so, in this particular instance, for the greater good, hey, you know what? Take that life of mine. Well, I'm not suggesting that we all act that way in our daily lives, although I wonder what would happen on the earth if we did. But that's not the suggestion I'm making. I'm sorry?
I've always wondered that, too. What would happen if mankind became good all the time?
Well, you know what? I think that mankind is good all the time, inwardly. I think that is our natural state. I disagree with those who say that just the opposite is true. I think it is normal, not natural, but normal for us to act in ways that are not good, that are violent, but I don't think that's natural. I think we have to be unnatural to act that way. But we have been fed unnatural thoughts about ourselves, about life, and about the thing that I call God from the beginning of our lives. And we've been fed those thoughts by the very source of what is supposed to bring us calm and calmness and peacefulness, and that is religion itself. Religion has been, by my observation, and I'm told in the New Revelations, a conversation with God, that punitive, exclusivist, organized religion has been the chief source of the poisoning thoughts that create the culture wars on the border between India and Pakistan. By the way, that war over there, that scuffling that's going on every day, has nothing to do with water rights or geography or oil fields. It has to do with the Hindus and the Muslims not being able to get along. By the way, what's going on between Israel and Palestinians for the past 50 years has very little to do in the end line with geography and everything to do with cultural, ethnic, and religious beliefs. By the way, for the past 35 years in Ireland, Protestants and Catholics have been shooting each other and killing each other. And it's not about geography. It's not about water rights. There are no oil fields there they're fighting over. These are all the reasons that we want to think that wars are started. It's not about any of that.
the Catholics and the Protestants just can't get along. Hello? And that's because of the things they've been taught from the day they were born.
How do you change that?
You begin to create a new spirituality on the planet by opening the human mind to the possibility that there may be something we don't know here about God and about life, the knowing of which would change everything. The New Revelations, A Conversation with God, contains, in fact, 9 new revelations that it is the hope humanity might at least explore, at least take a look at, to see if there might not be something else that our knowledge, our current awareness and understanding of God and life is not necessarily completely and utterly inaccurate or mistaken, but incomplete. That we are like, you know, scientists trying to solve the highest mathematical problem, and all we've been given for tools are addition and subtraction. We haven't even gotten to multiplication and long division yet. And so we can't understand why we can't solve the problem. It isn't as if addition and subtraction are wrong or wrong-headed ideas. They're just not complete. There's more to the picture. But the fact that there's more to the picture is something that exclusivist, punitive, organized religion can't admit or acknowledge and will not in a million years. Because to admit and acknowledge that there's more yet to come, there's more exploration to be done, that we don't have all the answer, is to wipe out the very reason for the existence of those religions, which of course proclaim that they do have all the answers.
What do these organized religions think about you, Neil?
They're not too pleased.
I didn't think so.
They call me what they call most people who speak these ideas. An apostate, a blasphemer, a heretic, a poor man if you read your internet news, it was on the news yesterday and all over the internet and in the past 3 days. A poor man in Iran, a professor at a university in Iran, was just sentenced to death for saying in Iran, with regard to the Quran and the teachings of Muhammad, the same thing I'm saying right here on this program. He asked the question, is it possible that maybe some of the things that people believe about Muhammad and about the Quran, or at least a few of the statements in there, might have been misunderstood or misinterpreted or mistakenly put down or might not be wholly and totally accurate? And for such suggestions, for proposing that we at least explore the possibility, the man was sentenced to death.
Off with his head.
And that is the way the world treats new ideas in the area of theology. Our punitive, exclusivist, organized religions have not seriously considered a new theological thought in hundreds, if not thousands of years. If we halted our own progress in our thinking in any other area of life, in our medical sciences, in our technologies, in our social and political sciences, we'd be still back in the Dark Ages.
Well, do you believe, Neil, that there is indeed a higher power somewhere?
There is not a higher power in the sense of being more powerful than that which is the only power of which we are all a part. But there is a greater power in the sense of the cumulative effect of power when it is used collectively. That is to say, whenever two or more are gathered. And so, if you're asking me if it's more powerful for 10 people to think a thought or take an action than it is for one person to do so, there's no question about that. And that's higher power. That's the power of God when it's focused and utilized in a collective way. And there are ways to do that, not the least of which is prayer. But by the way, let me say, having said that, that 95% of what the world's organized religions teach us is, in fact, extremely valuable, very wise, insightful, and wonderful stuff. And that's why the world clings to so much of it so avidly, because we see that it is. We can tell that it is. We inherently know that, hey, you know what, this is good stuff. I'm talking here about 5% of the teachings, 5% of the belief systems that cause us to be dysfunctional with each other, and not the least of that 5% is the part of it that says, our way is the only way, and we know all there is to know on this subject. There's nothing new to be added to wisdom on this subject. Just get it. We're the right ones, and we know how to get back to where we all came from. And that 5% is what is killing the whole game and causing culture wars all over this planet. You know, it's a matter of history that most of the wars fought on this planet, not all of them, but most of them, have been fought over religious differences.
Now, absolutely. There's no question about that.
And so what we have to do is work together now, and we are offered many suggestions on how to do that in the new revelations, a conversation with God, which was God's answer to my plea after September 11th. Please, please, what is it that we don't get here yet? And what is the way out of this mess? And in that book, we're given many suggestions, including five steps to peace that could allow us to live together in harmony at last. It's not impossible. I do have great optimism for the future, and I disagree with those who say that our violence is part of our nature. It is normal, but it is not natural.
I'll tell you one thing, Neil. You've come a long way since that moment of depression many years ago, haven't you?
Well, I have indeed. I have been blessed enormously. I have been brought an awareness of things that I never knew I could become aware of. I've been given an opportunity to see into things, to have some insight, and I am very grateful for that. But I am also deeply aware that all people have that opportunity, and many people have taken advantage of it, and that I'm just one among millions of people who are sitting around with ideas like this, clarity like this, insights like this. But the difficulty has been that most of us are keeping what I call the silent agreement. We're not communicating with each other. We're not saying anything out loud. We don't want to get in outside of the no-hassle zone. So we stay inside the no-hassle zone, and we are, each of us, afraid to announce that the emperor is wearing no clothes.
Stay with us. Now it's your turn. Your questions for Neil Donald Walsh. I'm George Norrie. And you're listening to Coast AM.
With my neighbor. They were walking their dog and ran into my yard and it attacked one of our chickens. And these are our companion chickens. These are our pets.
You can cuddle with a chicken? I didn't know this.
Oh, yeah. You can get good loving with a chicken.
You're kidding.
Chickens are fabulous pets.
All right.
I come home. Gladys is dead. It was the same lady. Came back with her dog. She just handed me the chicken. I asked her what happened. She said it was her dog.
What do you mean handed you the chicken? Where was your chicken when it got attacked?
It was in my flower garden.
You know for a fact that your chickens never walk off your property?
Absolutely know for a fact.
How do you know where a chicken's been?
These are Polish chickens.
What does a Polish chicken have to do with staying in your side of the property line?
Polish chickens don't stray far from their house. It's one of the
Okay, don't stray far still means they stray. You don't have your chickens contained, and you don't have a fence on your property line. You need to be more responsible with your chickens. You live in that kind of area. I appreciate your affection for your chickens. Oh, I eat a lot of them, so I have a lot of affection for chickens.
Dr. Laura, weekdays 9 to 11 on Wham!
Hey, friends, Lodsborough here for Isaac Heating and Air Conditioning, and there's a great deal I want to tell you about, but first I want to give you a gift-giving suggestion. You know, maybe your mom lives off by herself, or one of your kids has gone and set up housekeeping on his or her own. Maybe you should have Isaac Heating and Air Conditioning stop out and inspect their furnace to make sure it's safe and efficient and will last them through the winter. To do that, call Isaac at 546-1400. Heck, while you're talking to him, maybe you ought to have him come out and check yours as well. Now here's that offer. Extended until November 15th. You can get Rheem 10 SEER Central Air Conditioning free when you purchase a high-efficiency Rheem Contour Furnace. 546-1400. You can also schedule service and get information on their deals by going to isaacheating.com. Isaac Heating Air Conditioning, 546-1400. 546-1400.
Heating and air conditioning must be installed as a system. There will be a standard charge to install your free Rheem Central Air Conditioning System. Prior sales excluded.
Don't touch that dial, or you'll miss the important stuff. News Radio 1180, WHAM, Rochester.
A clear channel radio station.
CBS News. I'm Jim Shenaby. Iraq took a giant step toward accepting the UN resolution mandating a return of international arms inspectors. During a parliament session in Baghdad today, President Saddam Hussein's son told his fellow lawmakers they should accept the plan. A vote is expected shortly. The White House isn't likely to be impressed.
correspondent Mark Noller.
In the view of National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice, the Iraqi parliament consideration of the UN resolution is next to meaningless. She says Iraq is a dictatorship and the decision is up to Saddam Hussein. But she also says Iraq doesn't have the right to either accept or reject the resolution. She says the UN merely sent it, return receipt requested.
Congress gets back to work today in a lame duck session where Democrats will still control the Senate, albeit temporarily. Dean Barkley, the man appointed to be Minnesota's interim senator, says he will remain an independent. Correspondent Bob Fuss.
What makes Barkley's decision important is that the old Senate, after the death of Senator Wellstone, stays Democratic by just one vote. And if Barkley had decided to help the Republicans, they would have immediately taken control. The White House and Republicans leaned on Barkley to do that, but he says he was appointed by an independent and will stay independent, meaning at least for the first few weeks of the lame duck session, Democrat Tom Daschle will remain Senate leader.
Democrats will lose control of the Senate the minute election results are certified in Missouri, where Republican Jim Talent beat incumbent Democrat Jean Carnahan and will take over her seat immediately because she was appointed to that seat, not elected. The death toll from the weekend tornadoes that hit five states is now at 36, with hundreds hurt. Hardest hit Tennessee, with at least 16 dead. Kurt Pickering is with the state's emergency management office.
Probably by the end of the week, we'll have a pretty good handle on dollar figure damage. That's a lower priority, of course, right now than the life situation is.
CBS News reporter Jim Krasula is in hard-hit Mossy Grove.
Many of the homes look as though they've exploded from the inside out. The rolling landscape is dotted by huge piles of debris that were once homes. Cars and pickup trucks have been tossed around like small toys. School buses are sitting on their sides next to several destroyed homes.
More than a dozen people still listed as missing in Mossy Grove. The nation's Catholic bishops are meeting in Washington, and the sex abuse scandal continues to be the main topic for discussion. Correspondent Barry Bagnato is there.
Victims groups say the bishops here are retaining the power to ignore the sex abuse policy they are devising. Dallas Bishop Joseph Galante disagrees.
There is a, what I believe is a moral obligation.
To be answerable to the public, he says, and to fellow bishops. Doing their part for accountability, a small group of Catholic activists is unveiling an internet database summarizing public reports of abuse by some 600 U.S. priests. Barry Bagnato, CBS News at the Bishops' Conference, Washington.
32-year-old Mark Wayne Rathbun of Long Beach, California, has been arrested, charged with being the serial rapist responsible for at least 13 West Coast rapes since 1996. This is CBS News.
Attention all smokers. If you're serious about kicking the habit, if you want to quickly and safely eliminate your craving for cigarettes, here is some great news from the makers of Smoke Away. For less than the cost of gum, patches, or prescriptions that often don't work, we'll rush you the all-natural Smoke Away system that's sweeping the country, and we guarantee you will be smoke-free in just 7 days, or it won't cost you a dime. Smoke Away's amazing all-natural herbal formula works to completely eliminate your desire for nicotine in 1 week, just like it has for thousands nationwide.
After I got the Smoke Away program, I have never even wanted another cigarette. I smoked for 24 years, and I quit smoking in 3 days after using Smoke Away.
Don't be a slave to cigarettes anymore. Quit smoking for good, the safe, all-natural way with Smoke Away. Call now to receive our special 50% radio discount. 1-800-229-4952. That's 1-800-229-4952. Money back if you aren't cigarette-free in just 7 days. Call toll-free. 1-800-229-4952. That's 1-800-229-4952.
A new recipe for staying healthy if you're diabetic. Dave Barrett reports.
A doctor's cookbook for diabetics, a working title.
The joy of eating right and living longer.
Hard to put into words, but Mount Sinai expert Dr. Elliot Richardson says diabetics should change the way they cook on Thanksgiving.
If you want to glaze a turkey, you should think twice about it because you're glazing your blood vessels at the same time.
To cut formation of blood vessel-harming AGE molecules, Rayfield says eat foods
that are slowly heated. And an emphasis on fruits, vegetables, and fish.
That means no more barbecuing or microwaving because food cooks too fast that way. Dave there at CBS News.
A survey by Oxford Health Plans found nearly 1 in 5 U.S. workers claim to be in excellent health despite some pretty bad health habits. 55% of those respondents were at least 25 pounds overweight, 31% smoked, 21% drank 3 or more alcoholic beverages a day, 36% admitted they never exercise. Jim Shannon.
Recognized as the best by the Radio Television News Directors Association with the prestigious Edward R. Murrow Award for Best Newscast. The Wham! 5 o'clock news hour.
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight. Just partly cloudy skies. It's going to be cool. Maybe a little bit of fog in some of the valleys later tonight. Temperature down to about 40 degrees, 30 south of Rochester. Tuesday becoming mainly gray. Couple of rain showers late in the afternoon, especially east of Rochester. The high temperature in the upper 40s. Wednesday, mostly cloudy, mid-40s. Few more rain showers arrive again on Thursday. This is WHAM News Source 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
This is it.
Hello, Americans. This is Paul Harvey.
Thursday, Paul Harvey comes to Rochester. Thursday evening at 7 o'clock at the Eastman Theater. Experience what many consider to be one of the greatest speakers of our time.
Now, the rest of the story.
Paul Harvey. Paul Harvey. Tickets are available, but they're going fast. Don't be left out. Call 232-1900. 232-1900. Paul Harvey, live in Rochester this Thursday. Brought to you by Preferred Care, Stickley Audi and Company, and News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Trying to get myself ashore for so long. For so long. Listen to the strangest stories. Wondering where it all went wrong for so long. For so long.
Taking your calls on Coast to Coast AM from west of the Rockies at 1-800-618-8255. East of the Rockies at 1-800-825-5033. First-time callers may reach George at area code 541-665-0520. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. Now, here again is George Norrie.
Well, you're burning up the phone lines right now, so we'll get right to it with my guest, Neil Donald Walsh. I'm George Norrie. Don't touch your dial. Back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. CC Radio Plus, you know, it's that AM-FM TV weather radio. It's $159.95. The price includes U.S. shipping, and it's available from the Sea Crane Company. You know, the CC Radio Plus is simply the most sensitive AM radio made today. I got an email about 3 weeks ago from someone down there in Puerto Rico, and he bought the CC Radio Plus after listening to Coast, and he said, you know what, I bought it. I didn't believe you, but I bought it. I could only get in just a few stations down there. Now, with the CC Radio Plus and that extra antenna you recommended, I am able to pick up 500, I kid you not, radio stations. Your favorite news, talk, and sports programs will come in clear, and you will pick up more stations than ever before. The CC Radio Plus is simply the best radio for people that really listen to radio. Some of the other features... you can listen to TV audio, and it's got a great weather radio reception. And, you know, with the weather so screwed up the way it is, maybe it's nice to have something with a weather alert button programmed right in there. And the CC Radio Plus has that. Power cord included, or you can use batteries. And maybe you're just not ready yet to order the CC Radio. You can call them and ask for a catalog as well. It's free, but you can only get one, and they will not put you on a private mailing list unless you ask. That's a promise. Call the Sea Crane Company, 1-800-522-8863 at 6:30 a.m. Pacific Time. That number again for the CC Radio Plus, or if you want a free catalog, it's 1-800-522-8863, or simply go to the web at ccradio.com.
There are real tragic events such as terrorism in the news these days, so what would you do in the event of a nuclear emergency? That's not so far-fetched now, is it? The government is stocking up on anti-radiation pills for government officials and the military. And what about you and your family? The greatest threat to your health is from the fallout of radioactive iodine, which can travel hundreds of miles, contaminating the air, food, and water, and young children are especially at risk. The good news is you can now get the same protection in a new anti-radiation pill called NORAD. NORAD contains pharmaceutical-grade potassium iodide that helps protect you from the damaging effects of radioactive iodine. NORAD is available now by calling 1-800-833-8737. That's 1-800-833-8737. Or order online at www.noradinfo.com. That's NORADINFO.com. NORAD is available at most health food stores. Stock up now while the supplies last.
Welcome back to Coast, George Norrie here. Neil, of everything that over the years that you have picked up in your conversations, is there a single factor, a single episode that just keeps you just even shaking your head going, wow, this is something. Why me?
I think it's a single factor, but not a single incident. It's the number of people all over the world, because I have now had occasion in the past 3 years to travel the world. I mean, everywhere, really, from Moscow to Korea to Japan to Machu Picchu and every place in between. And it's the number of people. You know, there was one single incident, now that I'm thinking about it. And you know, George, frankly, it's hard to describe it without sounding so incredibly egotistical and self-serving, and I swear on everything that's holy, I don't mean it that way, but I was in South Africa in the airport in Johannesburg, and an old woman came up to me. She was a black woman. She must have been around 75 or 80 years old. She was an elderly woman, and in the baggage claim area, and she walked up to me in baggage claim and just looked at me and said, "Can I just touch you?" And I said, "Please don't do that. Please don't do that to me. I that's not who I am. I don't pretend to be that. I don't want anyone to think of me as that. I'm not that special. I'm not that unusual. I know you think you know who I am, but you don't know who I am if you think that you." She said, "No, you don't understand. It's not that I think you're that special, but what you have brought to my life has changed me forever. And I just wanted to touch the source of that. That's not my way of lifting you up and honoring you, was thanking you by sharing my energy with you." And I stopped. I mean, I just, tears flowed. And I said, "Who are you?" And she said, "I'm just a person you've touched in your life." With that, she walked away. My wife was in the ladies' room while I was waiting for the bags to come around on the belt. And she came out of the ladies' room, and I was standing there in tears. She said, "Honey, what's the matter?" And I said, I can't even speak. Now, that kind of thing, people coming up to me out of the blue on the streets of Moscow, in Seoul, Korea, all over Europe, in South America, and saying things like that to me, not one or two, but over and over and over again, that has convinced me not of how special I am as a human being. In fact, quite the opposite. It's made it very clear to me that I'm not that special. It's been a very humbling experience, but it has made clear to me that something has occurred here that has touched the lives of millions of people in a way they've never been touched before.
Do you offer techniques, if that's a right phrase, techniques at how to reach this this inner self that has the ability to then communicate with God?
Yes, I have, in fact, in a small booklet that I wrote once, outline for people one process by which they might try to see if they couldn't have a more profound experience of the ongoing conversation with God that, as I mentioned in the earlier hour, we are all having. And that process begins, A, by acknowledging the possibility, by eliminating any thought or any idea that what we're discussing here is not possible. So first we begin by acknowledging the possibility. Then we move to step two, which is acknowledging that we individually are worthy of having such an experience. So we get rid of our thoughts of unworthiness, that yes, maybe God has talked to a few people throughout the ages. Maybe God has communicated with human beings. Maybe even in this day and time, the Gandhis among us and the Mother Teresas and so forth, but certainly not me, because I'm not worthy. So we eliminate our thoughts of our own unworthiness. Then third, we eliminate our unbelief. That is to say, when we've had striking moments of inspiration in our own lives, ideas that have come to us out of the blue, or the chance utterance of a friend on the street that turns into just what we needed to hear. When we have those moments, we learn to stop discounting them and begin to accept them as exactly what they are. The universe, if you please, the source of all wisdom, communicating with us and to us in a way that it understands we would most be likely to accept and to allow ourselves to notice. And after we get to past that place of unbelief to a place of belief, then to be open and aware, the fourth step in the process is to just keep your eyes wide open, keep your ears open, and just notice how life is bringing to you in the exact moment called now just what you needed to hear to open yourself to that larger place of wisdom, not the least of which might be, I might add, the very radio program to which you are now listening.
Let's go to some calls. Wildcard caller, welcome to Coast. You're on the air with Neil Donald Walsh. Go ahead.
Good evening, George. Good evening, Neil.
Hi there.
I'm so excited, Neil, that you have chosen to come on the air and share this with us. I understand, too, that you are no different than George or myself, and you have shared this story and enlightened a lot of people to just listen to those subtle messages that most people don't even pay attention to. I have two questions, and after the second question, I'll hang up and I'll listen to your response here. I love your books. I've read one. I went to three. I actually read one twice, and then I went to three, and I devoured it. And now I'm back at two reading it. But I can say that three is my most favorite, especially the part about the psychic stuff on about page 120. Did you keep your yellow manuscript that you wrote on originally?
Yes, they're in a safe.
I would guess so. It would probably be cool to kind of have. And then I'll ask this question, and I'll hang up, and I'll listen to your answer on the radio. Once that your books were in print, did you go back and read them to kind of grasp what you had written again once they were, like, really nice and in print and in books so that you could kind of grasp what the rest of us were reading? Thank you, Neil, and I'll hang up and listen to it on the radio.
That's a very intuitive and insightful question. I mean, it's a wonderful human question. The answer is yes. In fact, when I was, I want to say, bringing the books through, I did not have the experience of writing a book. I had the experience of taking dictation. And so, in fact, when the books came out in print, I would sit down and read them for the first time as someone else might read a book that was handed to them. And that's how I experienced them. And I would raise my eyebrows, and I would catch things that I didn't quite grasp the total depth of or the full meaning of when it was coming through me. Because I don't, by the way, edit myself. I mean, I put down exactly what comes through without editing, first time and only time. Nor does anyone else edit my books. They tell me at the publishing house in New York that I'm the only author in the house whose material is not edited by anyone. It's published just the way it's sent to them. And so, yeah, I actually sit down. Not only do I read the books when they first come out, as a first-time reader might, but I'll go one step further and tell you that every day I read one of the seven books in the With God series. I read from one of those books every day, and it's like new to me every day. And the most exciting book, not because it's the most recent, because if you read it, you'll see why it's the most exciting of the whole series, is The New Revelations, A Conversation with God, which has just been published, because it contains extraordinary, insightful, and deeply intuitive understandings of what's happening in the world today and what we as average people can do to shift the direction in which we seem to be inexorably moving.
Once you decided to publish, did you get publishers jumping up and down the first time, or did it take a long time to find that publisher to take a chance with this book?
I did not send the book off to 15 or 20 or 30 publishers, as many first-time would-be, wannabe authors would do, and I've heard stories of that. Nor did I even, for that matter, include a covering letter. I simply sent, as kind of a dare, again, going back to what I said in the first hour, I was told in the dialogue, this will one day become a book. I didn't believe that, so I thought, well, we'll see. So I thought, if it's true, I won't have to send it to 30 or 40 or even 10 publishers. I'll send it to a handful, three or four.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I did literally that. I simply wrapped up the manuscript without even a letter attached, just a note. I put a note inside, and the note said, read any 10 pages. And I put it in there, and I sent it off to some publishers. The The first three or four publishers I sent it to sent me a rejection letter. The fifth publisher that I sent it to called me up one day and said, I like this. I'd like to publish it. And I said, this is fascinating because I already got a rejection letter from you. I had a rejection letter from his acquisitions editor.
Yeah.
He said, we rejected this manuscript? I said, yes. Well, your acquisitions editor did. By the way, that acquisitions editor is still worth that company. He laughs about it. But he did, in fact, reject the book, saying it was old news and nothing new. But the publisher was very wise. He got a hold of the manuscript and felt that it was, in fact, worthwhile publishing, and he put it out there. This was Hampton Roads, very forward-looking publishing company.
Sure.
In Hampton Roads, Virginia. And they published the book. So I only sent it to five publishers, and it got published within a few months after I began sending the manuscripts out. And then it was picked up by a major publisher in New York City, which purchased the book from Hampton Roads and pays Hampton Roads a royalty on every book they sell, which has not been too bad for Hampton Roads either.
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And that major publisher was the Putnam Publishing Company in New York City, which published my next several books, including Friendship with God and Communion with God. Since then, I've moved to a new publisher, Atria Books, which is an imprint of Simon & Schuster, which has just published The New Revelations, A Conversation with God.
Well, good for you. Let's go. First-time caller, welcome to Coast, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead. Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Sam from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Oh, hi, Sam. Go ahead.
Yes, I've got a couple of things, and then I wanted to let you guys go, but I wanted to thank you both for being on tonight, and thank you for having a great show like this.
You're welcome.
I've been having coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence, but I've been seeing the 333 everywhere I go, on the digital phones, on the VCRs, on a microwave. Everywhere I go, I've been seeing the number 333. I've never had it before, but it just started about a month ago. And I was wondering if that could mean anything.
What's any significance there, Neil? Some people do see a certain sequence of numbers, and it plagues them. It haunts them, as a matter of fact.
1111 is a very common one.
Yes.
I think what's happening here, Sam, is not that there's any particular significance to 333, but here's what happens. When we have what I call a pop-through, a moment when, for whatever reason, our consciousness pops through to the next level, we suddenly become aware of what was always there. And it's like when you buy a new car. You know, I bought a Ford Windstar a couple of years ago, a green Ford Windstar. I swear to God, everybody in my town drives green Ford Windstars. I never saw so many. In my life until I bought one, it's like that. So what happens is we become consciously aware. Our awareness expands, and we suddenly start seeing things all over the place that were always there. And if we become intrigued by seeing something two or three times, the first two or three times, that's the third time I've seen 333. My God, in the past 2 days, suddenly we plant a seed in our mind that causes us to be, I want to say, on the lookout. And we start glancing at clocks. We start glancing at wherever numbers appear, and all of a sudden, there it is again. There it is again. And we think that it's something exterior to us that's trying to send a message to us or trying to cause us to notice something larger than just what's happening. And the truth is, there is nothing exterior to us. I say that again. There is nothing exterior to us. There is only one thing in the universe. All things are one thing, and we are part of the one thing that is. So what's happening is that we're noticing ourselves, and you'll probably see 333 for another year or two until you get to the point where you realize that in particular is nothing special, but that what is special is that your whole awareness, your consciousness of life itself around you and of the synchronicities in life has expanded to the point where you'll start seeing, Sam, I believe in the next year or two, other synchronicities as well.
Do you believe in... Because I do not. Coincidences. I believe that things happen for specific reasons, Neil.
Yeah, like the conversations with God, the dialogue told me that there is no such thing as coincidence, nor is there anything that's called an accident. That all things happen, I want to say on purpose, if you please, that nothing occurs by chance, and that life is an extraordinary mosaic, the individual parts of which are not understandable to us. We don't get to connection between them until we step back far enough from the entire mosaic to see the picture that it has created. And so I join you in that understanding. And the dialogue has made it very clear to me. And therefore, my life is lived in a whole different way from a whole different place. I no longer see things as coincidental or as accidental, but I rather accept exactly what's happening, and I do, as conversations with God suggested that I do, I see the perfection.
All right, let's go west of the Rockies. Your turn. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hi. How you doing, Neil?
I'm great.
George,
thank you.
How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
Listen, Neil, I've been a musician for 20 years, also a poet, and when I write my poetry, it kind of comes down through a different channel, almost like unconscious, right? Sort of like the way you wrote. And I listened to your first hour. I was kind of interested in your early beginnings when you were homeless and the way you started. Even though I'm 45 right now, I'm still going through a different, I guess, midlife crisis, if you want to call it that. I used to be a musician, right? And I was at a club one time watching my roommate play drums. I was sitting next to a guy at the table next to me who was kind of strange. I said, man, I need something new to read. And so he wrote a couple of books on this cocktail napkin. One was your book, and the other one was Seat of the Soul. I haven't read your book, but you just sound so cool. And I guess what I'm trying to ask you is, how can I get my poetry out there like you did when you were down and out?
By not needing to, by not having any necessity to, that we understand that the process of creation, as is true of the process of life, satisfies itself with the completion of the process itself. That we write our poetry not to get it out there, not to have anyone else read it, but simply to write our poetry, to express and experience who we really are. Let me tell you something, my friend. If when I sat down to write the New Revelations, A Conversation with God, this latest book, with a thought that, gee, I wonder how many it'll sell. I wonder if it'll sell at all. I wonder what I can do to tweak it or make it better, or what can I do after it's written to market it, or what, you know, I'd be absolutely insane and totally blocked in the creative process. I don't write the New Revelations or any other book, nor do I do anything in my life for that matter. It was an eye toward the outcome. I've eliminated expectation, and I've eliminated any need whatsoever for a particular outcome. But I have not stopped doing things. I was just doing them now for a different reason. The only reason I now do anything, write a book, eat a meal, put on a particular pair of outfit, clothes, comb my hair, or do anything, is to express my idea about myself, to experience myself exteriorly as I know myself to be interiorly. And when I do those things for that reason, the satisfaction occurs in the moment that the act occurs, and it's all one piece, and nothing needs to follow. Now, what's ironic about that is that when I let go of the need for outcomes, extraordinarily, all the outcomes I would have struggled and hoped for in the old days fall down on me, literally, without effort.
It's like the old saying, Neil, go with the flow.
That's it.
Simple as that. You just do that, and don't push. Yet I think there are times when you have to position yourself for things that you might want in life, whatever they may be. But generally, I have also found, like you believe, you just set your own faith in something and just let it happen. And most of the time, it will, if you believe in it. Stay with us. More of your phone calls. I'm George Norrie with my guest Neil Donald Walsh on Coast to Coast AM. Fortress strong with chains upon my feet. You know that ghost is me, and I will never be set free as long as I'm a ghost you can't see. If I could read your mind, love, what a tale your thoughts could tell. Back.
Checking WHAM's radar weather for the remainder of the overnight. Just partly cloudy skies. It's going to be cool. Maybe a little bit of fog in some of the valleys later tonight. Temperature down to about 40 degrees, 30s south of Rochester. Tuesday becoming mainly gray. Couple of rain showers late in the afternoon, especially east of Rochester. The high temperature in the upper 40s. Wednesday mostly cloudy, mid 40s. Few more rain showers arrive again on Thursday. This is WHAM News Source 13 meteorologist Glenn Johnson.
The home of the most objective Phil's coverage.
Put your ass in the table, dog.
It's News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Places, everyone.
Listen to WHAM for the Tuesday Night Huddle with Bob Matthews, Larry Felzer, and Leo Roth. Fred Smirlis talks Bills football with Bob Matthews. Wednesdays and Fridays at 7 p.m.
60-minute bomb out. Let's open up the whole 10, kick ass, and kill them all.
And it's the Bills postgame show. Sunday afternoons at 4. The home of the most objective Bills coverage is News Radio 1180 WHAM.
I want to stay in control of my life.
Georgia is a Preferred Care Gold member who likes to stay in charge.
My body may be 70-something, but Preferred Care Gold helps me stay fit and healthy. They have health programs like You're in Charge, which taught me how to eat well, stay limber, all for free.
Helen is another Preferred Care Gold member who also cherishes her independence.
Preferred Care Gold gave me a new knee. I am so happy to drive the car again.
If you want to stay in charge of your life and do all the things you want to do, call Preferred Care Gold today. Preferred Care Gold gives you coverage for emergency, urgent, and routine care all over the world.
If you're eligible for Medicare Parts A and B, call Preferred Care Gold at 585-327-5760. Preferred Care is an HMO with a Medicare Plus Choice contract. You must use network providers for routine care.
Stay as independent as you can be. Join Preferred Care Gold today.
Dunkin' is just any old cheeseburger. Only Bill Gray's will do.
Yeah.
I love the taste and the quality and the juice through and through.
Hi, me again for Bill Gray with another message for Mom. Now that my friends and I are more mature, our tastes have changed. Unfortunately, our younger brothers and sisters' tastes haven't changed. They still bug you to take them out for that mass-produced fast food you can't stand. The next time the little kids beg you for fast food, take them to Bill Gray's instead. They may not get some worthless toy to clutter up the house, but they will get fresh hot food they'll love. And guess what, Mom? You're sure to find something you'll love, too. Thank goodness. As little kids grow up, and thank goodness for Bill Gray.
For the richest meal with family of food, it's a great way to share the day. If you're getting hungry, say gimme, 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 Bill Gray.
Bill Gray's real food for real people.
Coast to Coast AM, driven by Bob Johnson Chevrolet.
Without Charlie Rowe, the memories you cherish today just might not exist. Over 100 years ago, Charlie Rowe opened Rowe Photographic and began saving the memories of your grandfather and grandmother. Your mother as a baby, your father as a young man, even you. You as a baby and a teenager and a newlywed and a mom and a dad. And as you go down the road towards grandparenthood, Rowe Photographic, now Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio, remains in the memory business. We're all in the memory business. We remember that first car and the first date, the junior prom and the senior ball. We remember weddings and babies. And isn't it glorious? We have photos and videotapes, old sepia-toned shots of grandparents. Maybe even that one of you as a two-year-old in the tub. For well over 100 years now, Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio has been the keeper of the flame. We still are. Rowe Photo, Video, and Audio, 1737 Mount Hope Avenue, and Rowe on the Ridge, Buckman's Plaza in Greece.
The forecast at your fingertips. 222-8000, the WHAM weather phone. 222-8000, brought to you by Rochester Colonial, the window and door experts.
Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie on Premier Radio Networks. To talk with George from east of the Rockies, dial 1-800-825-5033. west of the Rockies, 1-800-618-8255. First-time callers may talk with George at area code 541-665-0520. And the wildcard line is open at area code 541-665-0521. Now, here again, George Norrie.
Tomorrow's Coast to Coast program, our guest will be Colonel John Alexander. Who is he, you ask? He's a retired U.S. Army colonel, expert in non-lethal weapons. I'm going to talk about some of the new kind of military hardware that's out there, electromagnetic weapons, chemical options, various forms of low-impact weapons, and even that laser that was used a few weeks ago to knock out a missile in the test. That's on tomorrow's Coast to Coast program. Let me tell you a little bit about the After Dark newsletter and some Coast to Coast tapes while I've got your ear. 1-888-727-5505. That is the phone number. After Dark, it is part of Coast to Coast. You know that by now. What you might not be aware of is the November issue is out. They're already working on December, and it's great stuff. Urban Legends. 1-888-727-5505. That's for After Dark. And if you want to order tapes of your favorite Coast to Coast shows, build a library. If you want a tape of tonight's program, for example, call 1-800-917-4278. 1-800-917-4278. Nothing like looking at the moon through a telescope. What about Saturn? What about Jupiter? As a matter of fact, what about Mars? It's going to be very close next year. If you haven't, you're missing out. There's something magical about looking into space with your very own telescope. And when you're exploring the surface of the moon, you're viewing an object, for example, that's a quarter of a million miles away. Think about it. Quarter of a million miles. With one phone call to Hardin Optical, you can have your very own Deep Space Hunter telescope and begin to see the magic yourself. $299 plus shipping and handling. That's it. 1-800-394-3307, or you can order your telescope online at for the night sky.com. Now, there's nothing to compare with your very first view of Saturn through your own telescope. With your very own telescope, you can view galaxies, nebulas that are trillions of miles away. It does boggle the mind. Experience the wonders of outer space with your very own Deep Space Hunter telescope from Hardin Optical. Just $299 plus shipping and handling, 1-800-394-3307, or go online at forthenightsky.com. And don't forget to ask about our new catalog. That's 1-800-394-3307 or forthenightsky.com.
At First Horizon Home Loans, we know buying a home can be stressful, but there's at least one thing that isn't: getting your loan from us. We draw on the strength of a nationwide network of loan officers who will guide you every step of the way so you can move on to the things you'd rather be doing, like enjoying your new home. Call 800-600-4400 today. That's 800-600-4400. First Horizon Home Loans. Get home with less stress.
I can't believe I'm doing it. I'm actually quitting smoking for good this time. I'm using Nicorette on a regular schedule to help prevent cravings. And every now and then, when I really want a cigarette, like when I'm stuck in rush hour traffic, I take an extra piece to help stay in control. Over time, I'll use less and less Nicorette. And after 12 weeks, I'm done. I can do this.
You can do it. Nicorette can help. Use as directed. Follow dosing schedule. Individual results may vary. Support program can improve success rate.
Welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie. Neil Donald Walsh, my guest. Neil, your book, The New Revelations, how does that compare with the biblical book of Revelation?
Well, I don't think it compares at all in the sense that it's not comparable. The New Revelations is an entirely different kind of book that's extraordinarily contemporary. It talks about not the future, as the book of Revelations talked about, but about our present situation in this moment right here, right now. It explains in great detail why what's happening is happening, and then it gives, in the second half of the book, some very specific and powerful suggestions to ordinary, everyday people with regard to what they can do to help shift the prevailing notion of life here on Earth and change the direction in which we're moving. It's the right book at the right time if people are looking at the world today and saying, my God, is it totally and completely out of control? And am I just along here for the ride in the last chapter? Or is there a way that I can impact what's happening and do something positive about it?
Of the books you've written, is there a favorite?
Well, it is the new Revelations. And again, trust me when I tell you it's not because it's the latest book I've written, but far and away the most important. And I think it's because it's more appealing to a person who's not what I would call a new thought person or a new age person. The book is written and aimed toward, just by the way it approaches the issues that it addresses, the average person, even staunch conservatives, and so forth. It's a book that can be read by everyone. And it also has a sweeping overview that's not focused in on any one particular matter or issue. Without a doubt, The New Revelations is my favorite book and the most important one. If I take that out of the equation, if I don't consider this latest effort, then I would say that the favorite book that of all those I've written is Friendship with God, which talks in terms of how we can, each of us, develop our own friendship with the divine and use our relationship with God functionally in our everyday life, so that God no longer has to be simply a conceptual experience, but can be a practical, functioning experience that changes and improves our lives.
All right, let's go back to the calls. East of the Rockies, you're on the air. You may proceed with Neil Donald Walsh. Go ahead.
George and Neil, how are you?
We're doing great. Where are you calling from?
Daytona.
Okay, great.
Great show. Hey, you know, I was raised in a religion where I was told there's only one way to heaven, and that always bothered me because, you know, I'm thinking 250 million minus 4 billion, that hell's going to be like a really crowded place, you know? And I met somebody a while back that gave me another way of looking at things, and it really kind of opened up my mind. Yet at the same time, it didn't change my view of my religion, which is what I think religion is so scared of. And that's the first one is just a silly one, but it's like, you know, Benedict Arnold in America is considered a traitor. You know, that's the worst thing you can be called. But in England, they have like Benedict Arnold Day. He's like a hero because he did good for his country. You know, a different way of looking at things. And also, the other thing that he said to me was, if you look at life sort of as a mountain, and the top of the mountain is heaven, there's many paths to the top of that mountain. Some of them might lead to nowhere, but most paths end up at the top. And they're not all the same. So it's just a different way of looking at things. And again, like I said, it didn't change my own personal view of religion or my religion, just what might happen to other people, which to me, they all were going to hell, you know, according to my religion. So that's really all I had to say. Good show.
Well, he sounds like he's onto something as well, Neil.
If the world could hear what was just said, they would need virtually nothing else. All we need, really, the truth is, it all breaks down to one word. It's a simple word. It's almost simplistic. And that word is tolerance. If you would simply tolerate, or if you choose a softer word, acceptance. If you choose to accept each other as we are, and without giving up our own individual beliefs, which, by the way, I don't invite people to do. Some people try to cast me now as a person who is railing against organized religion and inviting people to reject or abandon their traditional beliefs. Nothing of the sort. What I'm suggesting is believe what works for you and what causes your life to be richer and happier and more joyful. But for heaven's sake, and I choose those words advisedly, for heaven's sake, don't require me to accept your beliefs, and whatever you do, don't use force in order to make me do so. That would change everything on our planet and would have eliminated 95% of the wars we've fought on this earth.
What is your take on people who believe to be psychics?
Well, I think that psychic experience is very common. It is a very real experience. Our psychic sense is our sixth sense. It's the ability that we have to go beyond what our five senses bring us in terms of incoming data. And I think that everyone is psychic. And again, we call it something else. And most people, because we have been culturalized against admitting, acknowledging, and expanding our psychic abilities and our psychic awareness, because we've been stigmatized away from that and culturalized against it, we, first of all, tone it down. That is, we mute it. We put it on an eternal mute. Or if we do have an occasional psychic experience, once again, we call it something else. We call it serendipity or coincidence. Or isn't that strange? But we, with the last thing we say, and unless you say so, was kind of a nervous laugh. Oh, wasn't that a psychic moment? But in truth, we all are extraordinarily psychic. And as soon as we begin to accept the possibility of that and then move into the experience of that, we begin, if we seriously explore it, experiencing our psychic selves in a much higher and broader way, much more consistently, and people have done that. So the answer to your question is, from my experience in my own life, psychic ability is common to everyone. It is our undeveloped sixth sense, and I believe that humans of the future will have developed that psychic sense and live a far more expanded life than we've ever known.
First time caller, your turn. You're on the air with us on Coast to Coast. Hi.
Hi.
Yes.
Hi, Neil. Hi, George.
Hello there.
My name is Molly, and I'm 20 years old. I'm calling from Portland, Oregon, pretty local to Neil there. And I had kind of a two-part question.
Sure.
First, I wanted to say that I've been studying religion for as long as I can remember, basically, since I was, you know, aware, maybe 8 or 9 years old. And your first book, I've read 1, 2, and 3, but the first book was just the answer to everything that I had studied. I've studied Buddhism, Hindu, Christianity, you know, you name it. And if I just want to say to anyone who's listening out there, if you're tied between two or more religions, reading this first book is going to clear, like, everything up for you. And I wanted to ask, if you're planning on printing the book in paperback anytime soon, because I see it as such an essential information to society, and I just think that everyone out there in the entire world needs to have this data. And I just wanted to know if you're going to print it in paperback, kind of similar to how the Bible is printed, just, you know, very cheaply with that paper, thin, you know, pages, just so that it could be distributed, you know, everywhere.
Well, you know, I don't have control over that. The book is owned by the Putnam Publishing Company, and they are continuing to sell it in hardcover and will do so as long as it sells in the massive quantities that even now, 6-7 years after its release, it sells in huge numbers. And so I don't think that because Putnam, quite properly, is motivated by profit, they're selling it as hardcovers. It can be purchased, by the way, in softcover, however, from Hodder and Stoughton in Great Britain, because it was published there originally in softcover. So I always tell people, particularly prisons, because prisons want to buy this book. It's become a great popular book in prisons for people, very rehabilitative, we're told by the wardens and by the spiritual counselors in those prisons. But you can't have a hardcover book in most prisons because they can be used as weapons. The edges of the books are very hard, and so only softcovers are allowed there. So they get all their books from Hodder and Stoughton Publishing Company in Great Britain. You can purchase yours online the same way.
Neil, have you ever been verbally attacked in public? And I'm wondering how you deflect that, if that's ever occurred.
Yeah, it occurs daily. And I deflect it by honoring the person who's doing the attacking. When I literally look at them and say, you know what, I understand how you could feel that way. I really understand how you could feel that way. And I have no need to change your mind about the way you feel. I'm only going to ask you to have no need to change my mind about the way I feel. And if we can go to that place, then I can tolerate you and you can tolerate me. And we can notice that our differences do not have to create divisions, that the variance in our beliefs does not have to bring violence to our lives. And we can walk hand in hand, my friend, down the same path, even though we believe different things. Want to travel with me? And most people, not all, but most people smile at me and say, you know, you're hard to argue with.
Let's go to the wild card call now. Welcome to Coast to Coast. Hi. Hello.
This is Jake.
Hello, Jake. Where are you, Jake?
I'm in Fort Lauderdale, and it's a pleasure, first of all, George, after listening to you so many times, to speak to you. And, Neil, you certainly are on the correct wavelength. I was fortunate enough to have just had a 26th anniversary of learning the process by which one could open oneself to become aware of the reality that exists. And moreover, I drink a lot of coffee. And from the outset that I learned the stuff from, and because these are universal truths, many of your words are the words that I've heard from other great teachers. But my coffee cup says, thou art that which thou seekest. So be still and know thyself. And acceptance is certainly the primary goal of what this should be, what this is all about. We're here to learn to love. And I will hang up and listen to any response that you may offer. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Jake. That's well said, Neil.
I profoundly agree, of course. That's the message that people will find if they look at any of my books or pick up the, you know, my writings in magazines, or if they go to the website at cwg.org and see what's available there, because or just go to Art's website and pick up the link there to my website. They'll find basically the same message that Jake has just delivered. If we only had 6 billion Jakes on the planet, our troubles would go away literally overnight.
What's your take of someone like an Osama bin Laden, who obviously has got so much bitterness within himself?
He is born of a belief system, was raised in the belief system, and has expanded a belief system that causes him to behave in those extraordinarily damaging ways, damaging to other people. He is doing what he thinks is right by his own lights. No one does anything inappropriate given their model of the world. So what I think of Osama bin Laden is that he has some extraordinarily skewered and distorted ideas about life and about God that have caused him to behave in the way that he's behaving. And he's doing what he thinks he needs to do in order to live out the beliefs in which he has found himself captured. So what I would do if I were trying to straighten him out is I would sit down and have a long talk with him, it wouldn't happen overnight, about why he believes the things he believes. And I would begin with a startling question. I would say to him, what hurts you so much that you feel you have to hurt me to heal it?
And then at that time, you smack him over the head with a 2x4.
Well, we've been trying to do that with the people of the world with whom we disagree for a very long time. And it shuts them up, and sometimes shuts them out completely by killing them. But the behaviors that they represent and that emerge through them emerge again. They bubble up all over again. We can put that kind of a Band-Aid on the problem, and sometimes our need for vengeance and punishment causes us to do so. But the problem itself will never go away. The problem of violent behavior on this planet reemerges, reemerges, and reemerges. As smart as we think we are, as sophisticated as we imagine we've become, as technologically advanced as we see ourselves as being, we can't solve the simple problem of getting along. And hitting people over the head with a 2x4 is not the way to do it.
I'm not sure, though, I can forgive atrocities and the people who are behind that. And I guess that's just me.
Well, I'm with John Kennedy, who said, forgive, but never forget. And there's a difference. I think we forgive those who do the unthinkable to us, but we never forget that they did them. We watch them carefully. We make sure they never do it again and take whatever measure one has to take to make sure they never do it again. We make sure we're never vulnerable to that kind of thing again. And one way we make ourselves invulnerable is by working at the level of belief and changing the belief systems that created the behavior to begin with.
Let's go west of the Rockies now. You're on the air with Neil Donald Walsh. Go ahead.
Good morning, gentlemen. Another awesome show on Coast to Coast. I thank you both very much.
Thank you.
I was going to ask about the dark side. What is the thing about the shadow people? Is there such a thing as Lucifer or Satan? Is that part of this? Because I know you're speaking the truth, Neil.
My understanding is that there is not, except Lucifer and the shadow side that exists in our own mind. we do live in a universe of duality. That is to say, there's this and there's that. There's up and there's down. There's black and there's white. And there's what we call good and what we call evil. But that we are, in fact, if I could put it this way, creating that in our own mind by the judgments that we make. But that in and of itself, evil, or for that matter, good, does not exist. Because as I mentioned in the other hour, the universe, as an objective reality, has no such judgment about things. So evil is evil because we think it is so, and so is said about good as well. Those are definitions, by the way, that we are wise to make. I'm not suggesting that we don't make those definitions. We do need to make those definitions as long as we live in this relative world. But we need to understand that we are creating it as such, and that we can uncreate it just as quickly. That's the magic. That's the power. And that's the insight the human race needs to have right now. Evil does not exist exterior to the human race, but is an interior process that we can reverse. If you think it's exterior, being forced upon us by some Luciferian or satanic force, then, of course, we're at the mercy of that, and there's nothing we can do except pray to God to help us out of this mess. On the other hand, if we see ourselves as being at cause in the matter of the greatest and the worst of our moments and experiences, suddenly we're in control, which is where we've been all the time.
And what does the future hold for Neil Donald Walsh?
I hope to spend the rest of my life giving people back to themselves and waking people up and causing the world to notice that there is another way to live our life on this planet.
Very good. Neil, thank you for spending the time with me on Coast to Coast tonight. Appreciate it.
George, thank you.
Neil Donald Walsh, Conversations with God. For J.D. Smith, Rondi Bussinger, Lisa Lyon, Delani Conrad, Howard Morton, our webmaster, Keith Rowland, Alan Corbett, and of course, Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM.